Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red knights to our table, green knights whenever we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam off. Red knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme, but our voice comes in able. We're not so mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It's a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shaziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. I already got to take a drink of my coffee. This is going to be one heck of a day, ain't it? Ah, yeah, good coffee. So, let's see here. I only posted one video over there in the superchat.html. Because, I don't know, the old King Shaziz the Terrible sometimes sits all up in the castle by itself at the round table because everybody's out slaying dragons or sleeping or whatever. It is one heck of a time to get up in the morning and start talking about issues around the world. And so, with that said, it's understandable. Some crazy old guy sitting up there ranting and raving about society in general and the craziness that goes along with it. So anyway, I guess to get this thing started, I'm going to play this clip right here because it's mind-boggling. I can't believe that this particular character that's going to be speaking in here just happened to be a part of the Democratic Party. I believe it's Harry Reid. But you got to hear what this man says. I mean, just listen to what he says. I might even actually have to play it, you know, a couple times to let it absorb in what this man said. All right, here we go. I'm going to push play. Hopefully this is going to be live, so.
If now, because he's the nominee for the party, and he's entitled to briefings from the CIA, for example, I said publicly, give him fake briefings. Pretend you're briefing. Don't tell him anything.
But as a Republican nominee, isn't he entitled to get those briefings?
Give him fake briefings.
What does that even mean?
It means they'll tell him stuff. He won't know the difference.
You're basically telling the intelligence community to lie to him.
No. I'm not going to lie to you, but I still have to tell you everything.
All right, let's try that again.
If now, because he's the nominee for the party, he's entitled to briefings from the CIA, for example, I said publicly, give him fake briefings. Pretend you're briefing. Don't tell him anything.
But as a Republican nominee, isn't he entitled to get those briefings?
Give him fake briefings.
What does that even mean?
It means they'll tell him stuff. He won't know the difference.
You're basically telling the intelligence community to lie to him.
No, I'm not going to lie to you, but I still have to tell you everything. Now, because he's the nominee for the party.
This is go number three.
He's entitled to briefings from the CIA, for example. I said publicly, give him fake briefings. Pretend you're briefing. Don't tell him anything.
But as a Republican nominee, isn't he entitled to get those briefings?
Give him fake briefings.
What does that even mean?
It means they'll tell him stuff. He won't know the difference.
You're basically telling the intelligence community to lie to him.
No, I'm not going to lie to you, but I still have to tell you everything.
I'm not going to lie to you. No, I just don't got to tell you everything. Fake briefings.
He's entitled to briefings from the CIA, for example. I said publicly, give him fake briefings. Pretend you're briefing. Don't tell him anything.
But as a Republican nominee, isn't he entitled?
It's Harry Reid of the Democratic Party. Briefings.
What does that even mean?
It means they'll tell him stuff. He won't know the difference.
You're basically telling the intelligence community to lie to him.
No, I'm not going to lie to you, but I still have to tell you everything.
Wow, man, that's all I got to say about that. Wow, holy smokes. So you got a presidential nominee, and instead of telling him the truth, you talk about want to give him fake briefings? Now, sometimes, have you ever felt like you were sitting watching a movie? And you know how, like, you get this exciting movie going on TV and stuff, and you just, you see the bad guy out there, and you can't stand the bad guy, and you're watching the good guy do something stupid, you know he's getting fixing to get clubbed, and you're shouting at the TV, don't go in there, watch your back, look out, man. And so, you're just like, screaming at the TV, trying to talk common sense, and look, I gotta play that one more time, alright? This is so unbelievable that it blows my mind. All right, here we go. Harry Reid again, Democratic Party, 2016 election.
If now, because he's the nominee for the party, and he gets, he's entitled to briefings from the CIA, for example, I said publicly, give him fake briefings. Pretend you're briefing him. Don't tell him anything.
But as a Republican nominee, isn't he entitled to get those briefings?
Give him fake briefings.
What does that even mean?
It means they'll tell him stuff. He won't know the difference.
You're basically telling the intelligence community to lie to him.
No. No, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I just don't have to tell you everything.
Okay. Oh, wow. Man, look. And people wonder why nobody trusts the Democratic Party in the United States. This is like, I'm sitting here, I'm like in shock. I heard this several days ago, this video. But just haven't been able to get it out of my mind. There's one of the, I think he used to be like the leader of the Democratic Party at one point. I think he was like before or after Nancy Pelosi, the one that said, we got to pass this bill to find out what's in it. So, the leadership, I just don't get it, man. Is it even remotely possible that the leadership of the United States could be that corrupt and or that stupid? Like I said, it feels like I'm sitting here watching a movie, and I'm watching the bad guy sneak up on the victim or the good guy. And I'm like, look out, man, look out, you know, and you got all these bad guys in there, you just can't stand them, and you just wish that they would go away, because they're making a mess out of everything, you know, what could be a decent thing going on, they just kind of somehow or another just are so rotten to the core, they find a way to make a mess out of everything. So you're sitting there, you're shouting and you're screaming at the doggone TV. And then in this case, it'd be at the computer. And you go out there and look at the headlines on YouTube or any of the social media networks out there, and you listen to what people are saying, and you watch these, some of the protesters out there still today protesting, you know, a man being elected. They swear up and down he's a racist. And you even got people talking about blowing up the White House, and you got people talking about shooting the president, and then a teacher acting out with a squirt gun in school, shooting at the squirt gun saying, die, die, die. I don't have that clip available or else I'd play it for you. There is some sort of mental illness called liberalism. Maybe they put too much lead in the water or too much fluoride or chlorine or something. But you just heard one of the supposed leaders of the U.S., a Democratic senator or congressman, I can't remember which one he is anymore. But I know that it's nauseating to listen to him and other Democratic senators or congressmen talk, because of some of the things that come out of their mouth is mind-blowing. I mean, then you you start putting two and two together. You look out there at the protesters and some of the things that they're saying, and then people that question what they're saying, and they can't come up with a valid, coherent argument, so they immediately rush to calling names, and, yeah, you're a racist, you're a xenophobe, you're a homophobe, you're this, you're that, you know, F you, and, you know, going around bashing windows in, and hitting people with sticks and rocks and whatever. Now, these are supposedly peaceful protesters on the liberal side of things that are protesting Trump because they say Trump's a Nazi. But, man, let's back up here again. Well, I got to play this one more time. All right, listen, this is a leader of a Democrat Party. This is the kind of mentality that the good people of the U.S. are up against. From the left side.
If now, because he's the nominee for the party, and he's entitled to briefings from the CIA, for example, I said publicly, give him fake briefings. Pretend you're briefing him. Don't tell him anything.
But as a Republican nominee, isn't he entitled to get those briefings?
Give him fake briefings.
What does that even mean?
It means they'll tell him stuff. He won't know the difference.
You're basically telling the intelligence community to lie to him.
No, I'm not going to lie to you, but I still have to tell you everything.
I'm not going to lie to you, but I just don't have to tell you everything. Well, so much for transparency, so much for seeking the truth, so much for honest government. This man is a lifetime politician. His name's Harry Reid. And he's one of the ones up there voting on things like Obamacare and, you know, Senate picks and car, or not Senate, doggone it, judges or whatever that get nominated. He's one of the voices up there representing part of the people of the United States on the Democratic side. And, you know, this ridiculousness just doesn't stop. I mean, it just keeps on going. It's mind-blowing. You know, like, they're out there protesting, and they're shouting things like F Trump, and they got this chant that they do, this is what democracy looks like, and then they're smashing stuff and burning stuff and knocking stuff over and abusing people. Anybody's got a Trump hat on, they'll attack him and stuff, and they're talking about no peace, no justice, no peace, no justice, no peace, and then they're hollering about this is what democracy looks like, and I'm like, my God. First off, if you ain't smart enough to understand that the United States of America has never been a democracy, then first off, there's a problem right there. But if that's what democracy looks like, thank God we never were a democracy. Because if democracy is a bunch of people running around burning stuff up and bashing people in the head because they don't agree with the same thing that you do, democracy seems pretty violent to me. Mob rules. Go out there and bust holes in the dang windows and bust up ATMs and burn down your community because you didn't get your way. Throw a temper tantrum. And the ridiculousness doesn't stop there. First off, women are sitting there talking about how they got they don't have the same rights as men and all that, and they're trying to protest because men are supposedly misogynist pigs, and Trump's a misogynist pig. And everybody's running around hollering F Trump and these protests, and then women are running around with their shirts off. Okay, if you're trying to get some sort of human rights going on for women, and you're going to yank your shirt off, I could say, you know, there's going to be some guys around that's going to appreciate that. But it really degrades your argument because nobody's focusing on your movement. It's like a bunch of women, half-naked women running around. Hey, a man's a man. If you see the goodies, so to speak, hanging out in public, I mean, somebody probably thinks Donald Trump is a stud. Now, I ain't never been able to get that many women to yank their shirts off for me all at one time. I mean, that's like impressive. Now, maybe that kind of sounds rude, but surely it's got to be rude, too, whenever you got half-naked women running all over and people running around hollering F Trump. How's that going to get your argument across to anybody? What is the purpose? They had a big giant photo shoot of a whole bunch of women that were like getting naked and stuff, and it says can't agree shaziz, the right lie just as much as the left, it all part of the game, the left-right paradigm, neither promote true freedom a natural rights individual. I agree with you. Look, I'm just saying. I'm pointing out one side right here because this is the side that this guy was on. Now, I'm sure that I actually know. There's a terminology called rhinos because there's Republicans over there that go vote on more like the Democrats than they do the conservative side of the Republican Party. So it's on both sides of the fence. I understand that. But, in honesty, show me anywhere, seriously, go out there, show me anywhere where there was like a pro-Trump deal where women run around half naked and the men and were had ski masks on and start smacking people with sticks and busting out windows. You know, you gotta show the balance of both sides. It's all ridiculousness. You know, John McCain, he's on Republican side. He should be over there on the Democrat side. This guy is just like mind-blowingly. Oh man, it's. Look.
Now, because he's the nominee for the party, and he's entitled to briefings from the CIA, for example, I said publicly, give him fake briefings. Pretend you're briefing. Don't tell him anything.
But as a Republican nominee, isn't he entitled to get those briefings?
Give him fake briefings.
What does that even mean?
It means they'll tell him stuff. He won't know the difference.
You're basically telling the intelligence community to lie to him.
No, I'm not going to lie to you, but I have to tell you everything.
I don't got to lie to you, I just don't got to tell you everything. Look, I don't know what, it's like this, the whole drain the swamp thing, drain the whole Washington, D.C., it needs a bath. You need to get all these people up out of that entire seats of power anywhere. It's just nuts. But... let's say, hypothetically, that there really is a secret society out there that is trying to manipulate. Let's say that George Soros is funding all of these protesters out there, to go out there and riot and burn things and bash things and fight amongst each other, whether it be on the Trump side to the liberal side, whichever they... Bernie Sanders got screwed by his own party. All right, he got cheated out of the nomination, and so that came to light, and a lot of folks were so angry about it they went and voted for Trump. This isn't about who got elected or who didn't get elected. This is about the ridiculousness that's going on. I mean, if you see some of the signs and some of the things that people are saying and their actions and the way that they are like having complete and utter meltdowns. Just, it looks like a severe mental illness has swept over the land. And these folks who are saying they're out there fighting for freedom and justice or whatever, social justice warriors or whatever, they don't understand, but what they're doing is essentially giving the elite the power over them yet even further. I mean, come on, how many times is a bank going to get the windows smashed out and ATMs getting messed with or whatever and cars getting caught on fire and people tearing down public property and stuff? How long is that going to occur before they literally got to say, okay, look, we got to step in and save this. This is getting out of hand. You sit here and watch while these people are doing that. You know there's police in the neighborhood, but they're not getting involved. They were told to stand down. And so, if the police are standing down and the thugs are looting and pillaging and rioting and violating each other, hitting people with signs and... if you go into a protest and you got a mask on, I don't think that's a protest anymore. If you're afraid for somebody to see your face and you're carrying a stick, you're not a protester anymore. You're a terrorist. You're somebody who's up to no good. He showed me, Stephen Gibbons showed me a picture of right wing wearing mask and burning stuff. It's the Ku Klux Klan. Well, funny as that may be, the Democratic Party was really the ones who got credited for starting the Klan to begin with. So there's a little bit of history there. But nonetheless, I don't agree with the Klan. And I don't see Trump wearing a Klan hat around. I don't see anybody coming forward with any kind of pictures that show Trump involved in the Klan or any past relations, with the exception of somebody said that the Klan endorsed Trump. Man, somebody comes up out of the woodwork and endorses you, you know, what are you going to do? I'd say, look, I'm not with those guys, but that's, you know, that's kind of like going in there telling somebody's a thief, and everybody looking at you like you're a thief. You got to prove you're not a thief now. You shouldn't even have had to prove yourself not a thief if you're not a thief. It's supposed to be innocent till proven guilty. Yet accusations are thrown around, and, you know, so. I'm looking at this picture there, the right wing wearing mask and burning stuff. I guess that's about an example, but Democratic Party's the one got credited for the Klan. And so with that said, you know, hey, there might have been Republicans in there as well, who knows? I wasn't part of the Klan, so I don't know the inside workings or their politics and all that kind of stuff, but oh, what a mess. So a guy sitting here in the background of this picture, you can see a couple burning crosses in the background, and you can see he's got this pointy hat on, looks like a dunce cap pulled down over his face with a couple eye holes cut out. And so he's standing there, he's got a shotgun, and there's people around there with their dunce hats on, and they're you know, doing whatever. Maybe that's their form of protest, or maybe it's some sort of reverse religious ceremony or something, because they're burning crosses. So to me, that would kind of think they hate Christianity, and so we don't like Christianity, and we don't like you, and you know, we got our pointy hats on and our shotguns. Anybody besides me think that that's slightly ridiculous? Seriously? I mean, I know that this world, there's a lot of questionable things going on in this world and have gone on in this world. There's still a lot of questionable things happening and questionable people out there promoting agendas and stuff. Steven says, I agree, if you turn up at a protest wearing a mask and carrying a stick, you're a terrorist. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, like, what's the purpose of the stick? You know, for one, unless you plan on, you know, using it or something, and you get this mask on, and that does look kind of questionable. Are you there for peaceful purposes? Well, it looks like you're carrying a weapon and you don't want nobody to know who you are. So that to me is questionable. So anyway, you got crazies running around protesting over everything under the sun, and they're not getting nothing accomplished. They're not going to get Trump kicked out of office. He's going to be president first 4 years or whatever. But you got people talking about, you know, going out there assassinating him. You got celebrities like Madonna was out there saying stuff like, well, you know, I had contemplated on thinking about blowing up the White House. You got people crying and screaming like it's the end of the world, it's doomsday because this man got elected. Of course, now I go talk to conspiracy people of the world, and they're saying, oh, well, you know, presidents ain't got no power, they're just puppets. All right, well, then that means everybody's out there with their shirts off and their sticks and their mask, and they're throwing rocks through windows and hitting innocent people and aggravating the cops, and they're doing it all for this puppet. And maybe we should, like, elect Howdy Doody for president and may probably get the same doggone results. And everybody can out there, you know, support Howdy Doody. I don't know if you ever seen Howdy Doody, but he was a puppet from way back. Oh, what a world. Okay, I gotta look at this picture now. Alright, well, yeah. Well, that's getting around to that one. That's pretty good. All right. So, let's get this right here. We got the Klan wearing pointy white dunce hats, which people said is for the right side, which would they would say that because Trump was endorsed by the Klan, supposedly, that Trump's part of the Klan, so Trump's a racist, and you're a racist if you like Trump. And so you got the white pointy dunce caps with masks on. You got the liberal thugs around with their sticks with masks on. You got the police looking like something out of some futuristic toxic world deal with gas masks and riot shields and stuff on. So everybody out there who is potentially really seriously dangerous to the visual, at least. I mean, I'm not saying everybody, even on the other side, probably dangerous as well. But you got guys with guns and sticks and shields wearing masks. You got lunatics wearing masks with sticks and rocks and such. You got half-naked women. You got protest signs in all different directions. You got the left arguing with the right out there, fighting each other and arguing and screaming and cursing, foul-mouthing. And you got a puppet up there for the president, according to the tinfoil hat wearing community theories. And so, with that said, looking out into the world and people are protesting and they're saying that, you know, this guy's a racist and, you know, let all the immigrants in and this and that. Alright. It's kind of hard to absorb all this stuff, seriously. Because what you got going on is just like the man said. What we have here is a failure to communicate. I wish I could find that clip. I'd play that. And, you know, Stephen says, I could think of better things to do on Christmas Eve. He's got a link here. Hold on, I gotta see where this link goes. Okay, KKK founded in 1865. All right, well, okay, that's a pretty long article. I'm just scanning down through it there. There's a, like, you know, a history out there, so folks, jump over there to the super chat, click on that link, and read down through this. Look, if you're on the left side of the fence, they're going to feed you left side of the fence propaganda. If you're on the right side of the fence, they're going to feed you right side of the fence propaganda. And if you're in the middle, they're just going to call you a nut, period. If you listen to the mainstream media and the leaders of the world, okay, I just don't know, but I got to do this again.
Now, because he's the nominee for the party, and he's entitled to briefings from the CIA, for example, I said publicly, give him fake briefings. Pretend you're briefing. Don't tell him anything.
But as a Republican nominee, isn't he entitled to get those briefings?
Give him fake briefings.
What does that even mean?
It means they'll tell him stuff. He won't know the difference.
You're basically telling the intelligence community to lie to him.
No. I'm not going to lie to you, but I still have to tell you everything.
Sit back and let that absorb in for a second. Just let that absorb in. Uh, a elected presidential nominee who is entitled to briefings from the Central Intelligence Agency, because he may very well be the man in office and have the power to be the chief executive of the law enforcement and the head of the military of the United States of America. He's the one that says, yeah, we go. We go over there and we fight somebody. You know? And then 60 to 90 days after that, can't remember the exact amount of numbers, but he's obligated to go before Congress, and if he's going to fight with somebody, declare an act of war, or declare war, and get Congress agree to it. Otherwise, you know, he's not supposed to do that. So you got a man with the power to push the button and tell everybody, look, we're going to nuclear war. These guys attacked us, so we're gonna, you know, we're gonna just like bomb them into the Stone Age. They always use the terminology the most powerful man in the world, you know, because it's President of the United States. And so you're not going to tell him the truth or nothing. If you're the CIA, you're going to take advice from this guy, and you're going to, I don't know. I think Stephen found something.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Hey, thanks, Stephen. What we got here is failure to communicate. Oh, okay, so, you know, it's counterproductive to your argument if you're out there shouting save the trees and you would have a wooden stick and a paper sign. I'm just saying, that's like, you know, unless you've got like the little label on there that says recycle, okay? If you recycle, that's a little bit better. Not perfect, because it's still made out of wood. So don't protest with a wooden stick and a paper sign. And if you're trying to stand up for women's rights and you're out there half naked, it's counterproductive. Seriously. I mean, all the guys out there, they don't mind the view. They don't mind the protest. Heck, they'll be right by your side. Hey, yeah, women's rights, that's cool. But it's counterproductive to your argument. It's distracting. And, you know, it makes the guy you're protesting look like a stud, because he's got the power over you to get you to do this, you know. And if you're going to go out there and you're going to protest and burn down your own communities, you know, bashing windows and stuff, everybody says, well, you know, these companies are insured. They got insurance. And so the insurance will cover it. That ain't no big deal. They ain't going to lose nothing. No harm, no foul. But apparently those individuals don't understand that how insurance companies work. Insurance companies have a habit of every time somebody gets in a wreck, raising everybody's rates all the way across the board, with the exception of those who have like really good driving records and pristine credit. Well, then, you know, they'll take care of those a little bit. They won't raise their rates as much. But nonetheless, when somebody has to pay an insurance claim, they're going to recoup their money some way, some other. They're going to add extra fee here and extra fee there. That's how the insurance company does it. And so, yeah, you just broke a window. Somebody's going to get paid, but somebody else is going to be paying. Period. And chances are it's going to come out of the taxpayer piggy bank. Which, in that case, eventually you got so much money going out, you ain't got enough coming in, guess what? You gotta raise the taxes. I tell you what, people are talking about Make America Safe Again. make America great again. And in the same breath, you know, you want the doggone borders wide open. You don't know who's coming or going. I mean, you don't have to be anti-immigrant to have a little bit of common sense that if somebody in this world, which the mainstream media told us that the terrorists were coming to get us, the government told us the terrorists were coming to get us. And so, with that said, you might want to check some people's stuff at the gate before they come sneaking across the fence. Now, America's a whole bunch of diverse people. People from all different parts of the globe. And, of course, America's had questionable past. Nonetheless, here we are today. We all got here. You know, if you look back through America, there was a lot of terrible things happening to everybody. A lot of dirty deeds and misdealings and crime and corruption and craziness. But nonetheless, people still want to come to America. Got to be a reason for that. It's either you want to come here and join the fight against everybody, or they want to come here for some peace and quiet because in their country they got drug dealers and corrupt governments worse than what they're going to get when they get here. At least is what they thought. And so, if you want to leave your nation and then you want to come to this nation because you want the chance for prosperity and peace and higher wages or whatever, then you should come to this nation and try to get on board and try to solve it. I mean, surely, you know, there was a lot of terrible things that happened in history, but, you know, at some point, you gotta let history go. And you gotta start moving forward and resolving issues today. Set precedents for today. You know, it's like the lady that was on the bus that refused to give up her seat. She set a precedence, and by gosh, sooner or later, you know, it just took a life of its own, and now nobody can tell you you can't sit a certain part in the bus. Which, to me, you know, I would have sat down with the lady. How you doing, lady? You having a nice day? You know, I would have supported her. That's just the kind of guy I am. You know, but, man. Where do you go with all this, man? It's sheer insanity. You got people that live in the United States that haven't actually had the displeasure of having to literally live under communism or fascism or all the isms out there in dictatorships where if you speak out against your government, you get shot, imprisoned, or who knows what else. Disappear. And so, here they are. They have lived a pretty pampered life all their life. They've had access to fresh water. They've had access to opportunities that other nations didn't have access to. And they're going to burn their flag of the country that, you know, people died for in order to try to keep this mess together. So, in that process, you know you're going to make somebody angry. Okay, short film produced by the U.S. Department, 1943. Okay, so, well, I'm going to see what this one is. It's by the Department of U.S. War Department, 1943. Yeah, so there should be no cursing off in that one. Let's see what they got to say. Don't be a sucker.
Henry here got on the train with $200. He couldn't see any harm in a friendly game of cards. What if the other men were strangers? And take Joe Collins. He's got a nice wife at home. But he met this girl at the bar, and she looked after the first couple of drinks. Thank you. old-fashioned word for people like us. We call them suckers. And there are other people. People who stay up nights figuring out how to take away what they've got. There are all kinds of game. Mike here, for instance. He's got everything in me. He's young. He's healthy. Got a job. And he's got a country of food. Big factories to make things a man can use. Big cities to do the business of a big company. And people. Lots of people. Enough to work the farm, build the factories, dig the mines, run the business. All kinds of people. People from different countries with different religions, different colored skins. Free people. They can live together and work together and build America together because they're free. Free to vote. To say what they please. Go to their own churches. To pick their own jobs. Yeah, Mike's got something, all right. He's got America. But there are guys who stay up nights figuring out how to take that away.
Can you mute your mic for a second? Alright, I gotta pause that for a second. We're in the middle of playing a podcast, Raymond. It's entailed, don't be a sucker. Hope you can hear this.
I've heard this kind of talk before, but I never expected to hear it in America.
All right, well, something happened to the volume there.
I don't hear it over here.
The truth about Negroes and foreigners. The truth about the Catholic Church.
Is it leaving this kind of talk?
All right, hold on. Let me. I'm going to see if I can change the volume on there. Let's see where the doggone deal is. There it is. Let's see if we can change the volume up a little bit and try this again. I'll rewind this just a hair where you came in.
Now, friends,
there, that's better.
I'm just an average American. But I'm an American American. And some of the things I see in this country of ours make my blood boil. I see people with foreign national money. I see Negroes holding jobs that belong to me and you. Now I ask you, if we allow this thing to go on, what's going to become of us real Americans?
I've heard this kind of talk before, but I never expected to hear it in America.
That's one of the things you know he's talking about.
What are we real Americans going to do about it? You'll find it right here in this little pamphlet. The truth about Negroes and foreigners. The truth about the Catholic Church.
You're walking all over it, man.
And I tell you, friends, we'll never be able to call this country our own until it's a country without. Without what? Yeah, without what? Without Negroes. Without alien foreigners. Without Catholics. Without Freemasons. You know,
Masons. What's wrong with the Masons? I'm a Mason. Hey, that fellow's talking about me.
And that makes a difference, doesn't it?
These are your enemies. These are the people who are trying to take over our country. Now you know them. You know what they stand for. And it's up to you and me to fight them. Fight them and destroy them before they destroy us. Thank you.
Before he said Masons, you were ready to agree with him.
Well, yes, but he was talking about... What about those other people?
In this country, we have no other people. We are American people.
What about you? You aren't American, are you?
I was born in Hungary, but now I am an American citizen. And I have seen what this kind of talk can do. I saw it in Berlin.
What were you doing there?
I was a professor at the university. I heard the same words we have heard today. But I was a fool then. I thought Nazis were crazy people, stupid fanatics. But unfortunately, it was not so. You see, they knew that they were not strong enough to conquer a unified country. So they split Germany into small groups. They used prejudice as a practical weapon to cripple the nation. Of course, that was not easy to do. They had to work hard to do it. You see, we human beings are not born with prejudices. Always they are made for us. Made by someone who wants something. Remember that when you hear this kind of talk. Somebody is going to get something out of it. And it isn't going to be you. This is not classroom theory. I saw it happen. I saw it first in Berlin in 1932. Five young men that I knew were standing in the crowd listening to the Nazi speaker. Eric was a Catholic. Anton, a student of mine, was a Jew. Heinrich owned a small hardware store. Karl was a farmer. And Hans was an unemployed metal worker.
To all you Aryan Germans, I say it is time you inherited the nation which rightfully belongs to you. To you alone belongs the glorious destiny of the greater Germany. The Nazi Party will provide land for the farmer, work for the worker, and profits for the small businessman. Who is getting these things now? The Jew. The Jew who has stolen our nation and our birthright. Who makes all the money and takes all our jobs? The Jew! He must be shunned. He must be ostracized. He must be eliminated. And the Catholics. We don't want our great nation run by a foreign church. We Germans will know what to do with these people when the time comes. They and their faith must be destroyed. Then there are the Freemasons. In Germany, we have no place for secret societies. There will be only one society, and that is the Nazi Party. There will be no secrecy about that in the new greater Germany.
One by one, he attacked each minority and he split them off one from the other. These men were all fellow Germans when they came here today. Now they were split into rival groups, suspicious of each other, hating each other. They were being swindled, all of them. But the man who was really being fooled was Hans. He was pure German, according to Nazi standards. To him they promised everything, and he fell for it. That's how Hans became a superman. They gave him a uniform and they pumped up his ego. He wasn't just a little fellow out of work anymore. He was a member of the master race. Hans and thousands of others like him, all playing a sucker's game. They gambled with other people's liberty. And of course, they lost their own. A nation of suckers. Hitler needed these people. There was lots of work to be done. There were trade unions to be smashed. Because unions were organized and might offer resistance. There were many political parties in Germany. These the Nazis destroyed. They were determined to smash every organization where people might band together and resist them. There were Jews to be beaten and killed. The Jews were not powerful, but they were a convenient excuse for all the nation's ills. And besides, a Nazi party member could not take over this man's store. Hundreds of Catholics were put in jail because the Catholic Church had strength and could resist the Nazi drive for power. They had split the nation into 100 pieces, and then one by one, they had destroyed the pieces. Over these broken pieces, the Nazis rode into power. One party, one nation, one religion. These men had won their struggle for power. They now ruled all of Germany. But still they had trouble with their oldest and most persistent enemy, the truth. They found that truth does not die easily. And so they decided to abolish truth. One great source of truth is literature. So they burned books. 20 million of them. Many great men in Germany who were spokesmen for truth were jailed or driven from their country. Teachers, writers, scientists. Education was discouraged. In 5 years, college attendance dropped 53%.
It was forbidden to listen to a British radio program or read an American newspaper. In Nazi Germany, you had to get your information from Dr. Goebbels. He knew what was best for you. The church was one force in Germany still strong enough to proclaim the truth in public. This Catholic priest was arrested the following day on charges of immorality. The Protestant church also continued to try and fight for truth. The Nazis put this man in a concentration camp. There were others who spoke for truth, and I am proud to say that educators were among them.
And what, may I ask, is an Aryan? I don't know myself. But let us see what our present so-called authorities have to say about him. They say he is tall. Slender. Blue eye and blonde. There is no Aryan race. And more important, there is no master race. There are people who may find these ideas convenient, but science cannot support them. There is no scientific proof that there's any correlation between a man's racial characteristics and his native ability or character. In all racial groups, we find the same range of potentialities. We find idiots and geniuses. We find criminals and philanthropists. We must judge each man as an individual, and not by the color of his skin, or his eyes, or by the length of his nose.
Come in, gentlemen. It's comfortable.
And remember that there is no master race. That is a scientific truth. Anyone who tells you otherwise is lying.
And so, for all practical purposes, truth had been abolished in Germany. A lot of my German friends wondered what had hit them. How did it happen? Where did it start? It started right here. And this was where it could have been stopped. If those people had stood together, if they had protected each other, they could have resisted the Nazi threat. Together they would have been strong. But once they allowed themselves to be split apart, they were helpless. When that first minority lost out, everybody lost out. They made the mistake of gambling with other people's freedom. Now let's see how those bets paid off. Karl the farmer was gambling on a better life for himself. What he got was extra hours of back-breaking work. As much as 100 hours a week. He was forced to stay on his land and produce what he was told to produce. Because now Hitler was preparing for war. For Heinrich, who owned a hardware store, the bet didn't pay off either. 104,000 small businesses were closed in 2 years. And for Hans, conditions hadn't improved any. He had a job now, in the munitions factory. But he worked long hours for little pay. The working conditions grew increasingly bad. And even though he didn't like the job, he wasn't permitted to leave it. And when Hitler decided the time was right, Germany went to war. Not by declaring war, but by a carefully prepared sneak attack. Once again, Hitler needed Hans to do his dirty work. Hans was an expert at brutality this time. And Hitler had decided to use Hans and his brutality against other peoples, the Czechs, the Poles, the French, the Russians. But in the crucial test of war, Hitler's race theories didn't pay off. His pure-blooded supermen were defeated by the mongrel armies he despised, by the British of El Alamein. soldiers of every color and religion, who smashed across the Normandy beaches and drove on through to the heart of Germany. For the misguided Germans who had swallowed the Nazi bait, the Nazi game did not pay off. The continent of Europe was strewn with millions of German bodies, pure Aryan bodies. Karl, the farmer, was left in the snow outside of Moscow. Heinrich stayed in Italy at Salerno. And Hans, who was going to rule the world, got only a little patch of Normandy that he could call his own. We must never let that happen to us or to our country. We must never let ourselves be divided by race or color or religion, because in this country we all belong to minority groups. I was born in Hungary. You are a Mason. These are minorities. And then you belong to other minority groups, too. You are a farmer. You have blues. You go to the Methodist Church. Your right to belong to these minorities is a precious thing. You have a right to be what you are and say what you think, because here we have personal freedom. We have liberty. And these are not just fancy words. This is a practical and priceless way of living. But we must work at it. We must guard everyone's liberty, or we can lose our own. If we allow any minority to lose its freedom by persecution or by prejudice, we are threatening our own freedom. And this is not simply an idea. This is good, hard, common sense. You see, here in America, it's not a question whether we tolerate minorities. America is minorities. And that means you and me. Let's not be suckers. We must not allow the freedom or dignity of any man to be threatened by any act or word. Let's be selfish about it. Let's forget about we and they. Let's think about us.
Alrighty then, so that was like in 1947. There's a lot to be learned from that subject right there. Somewhere or another along the line, lost Raymond. I'm going to see if I can get him back on the line. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Trying to call. This Skype acting a fool now. That figures. All right, let's try this one more time. Do-do-do-do-do. It's really bad for radio. Where'd you go, man?
Well, I was on there for about 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's because we were playing a podcast right when you called in.
Okay.
So, and we were playing it live, too, so, you know.
Anyway. Yeah, and you answered me on Skype, because I called you, and you didn't invite me to the radio show or whatever, that's why I couldn't hear it. I could only hear you.
Oh, well, anyway, it was a podcast that you'll have to go back and listen to later. What the heck is that noise? Alright, you'll have to go back and listen to it later. It was a podcast on YouTube. I'm going to try to copy this link, and I'll get it later. Anyway, I'm gonna try to. Doggone it. My brain stopped.
Yeah.
The video's called Don't Be a Sucker. Alright? And because of the way I got it, I had to play it live on there, so there's probably a lot of static involved in it. But in this anti-fascist film produced by the U.S. military, in the wake of World War II, the producers deconstruct the political motivated social engineering Germany by the Nazi regime. So anyway, you know, look, when folks are out there calling people Nazis, they need to go back and watch this film, for real.
Yeah.
And the whole calling people Ku Klux Klan stuff, they need to go back and basically look at the history of the Ku Klux Klan. They need to find out who did what and when and why. before they go out and point out these the people who are supposedly racist because of what they believe or don't believe. I started off this video by playing a deal. I'm not sure if you would even be able to hear it, but a video that I've stumbled across on the internet there. Where Harry Reid is essentially talking about the CIA not... need to mute that right there. The CIA... Hold on, let me just... I'll repeat it for you so that you can hear it.
Because he's the nominee for the party. And he's entitled to briefings from the CIA, for example.
Alright, Harry Reid is talking about how Trump... being the nominee for the party, and he's basically talking about how he came out in public, how Harry Reid came out in public and told the CIA to give him fake briefings, not tell him nothing. And this is like a Democrat leader, right? That's actually saying this. I'm just dumbfounded because the ridiculousness of what I'm actually seeing and hearing, not just from the leaders, but the people out there, women taking their shirts off to protest women's rights and all this kind of stuff, you know, and guys with masks and stick running around bashing stuff and calling it a peaceful protest while they're burning things down. And, you know, if you go back and listen to that, video that we just played a second ago, that you see everything back in 1947, that had been prior, if they made it in 1947, it must have been going on prior to that, trying to divide and conquer everybody along racial lines, political lines, and demonizing whoever they wanted to, and basically making it so that everybody's fighting amongst each other, which is exactly what we see here today. The mainstream media being used as a propaganda machine and lying to people and propagandizing. See, it was the mainstream media who told everybody that all this stuff was terrorists behind every bush. We got to close our borders down because there's drugs coming across, people getting shot, you know, diseases and rapists and all this coming across the border. You never know who's coming in. Well, then when a man steps up to president and he signs an executive order to halt some people coming in from certain portions of the nation where terrorists have been hiding amongst the refugees, is what the mainstream media told everybody. All right, and so he puts they call it a ban, but in all actuality, Obama wrote the same doggone thing, and it was that he re-signed into an executive order, which essentially banned, there we go, the word ban, I don't know.
Froze.
Froze the inflow of immigration. And he's talking about building a wall to separate it to where, you know, there's a wall here, so if you want to come over, you got to go through the gate and not over or under the fence. And so that sounds like common sense, but then you've got individuals out there who are equating it to Nazi Germany, and so they're acting the fool and protesting and tearing down their own community and violating each other's rights. What they're doing is the same thing they were doing back in those days. They're giving up their own rights by acting a fool out there, falling for the doggone. They just like the video said, don't be a sucker. They're being suckers, you know. They're getting suckered into giving the government and the elite of the world more power. It's all pure ridiculousness. I don't care which side of the fence you're on, whether you're on the Republican or the Democrat side. And as far as, you know, saying that Republicans are all racist and the Klan, it's yet even more ridiculousness. You know, the history is twisted. The lies and the craziness going on. When's this ever going to stop, man? I don't I don't see any short-term solution for getting everybody educated rapidly enough to not see a repeat of history over, because everybody's already set in their mindset. They already believe what they're going to believe, and the doggone, like the global warming freaks out there believe that global warming is real, and so they're willing to allow the government to steal money from everybody. And where does that money go? You know, you've got like a carbon tax, and so companies can have carbon tax credits where they can, if somebody needs to pollute for a little while, well, they'll just buy some credits off of these folks over here, and somebody in the process, like Al Gore and all his cronies, are going to get rich off the process.
Exactly. The thing is it for real, okay? Global warming is real, but man is not causing it. It's normal. It is the natural order of things. That's all there is to it. The global warming is genuine. It is truly real. It's happened six times.
Well, that's why they changed the name to man-made climate change. And then when the math didn't add up, called it climate disruption. And so the name's going to keep changing because they still need their carbon tax money.
Exactly. They're just using it as an excuse. That's all. Well, and then the way man done it. Man didn't do it. I mean, my God, the Earth went through six times. It's been through global warming and on ice age. I mean, holy cow. And that was when there wasn't even a tenth of the people on Earth that there are now. And they didn't have automobiles and factories. So, that what happened there? I mean, you know, damn, man, come on, give me a break. He who does not study history is doomed to repeat it. That's exactly what they're doing. Exactly.
Well, there's somebody with a sign that says "Make America Safe Again." I'm not necessarily sure America was ever like really perfectly safe. I mean, there's always bullies and stuff that will beat you up, or some crook wants to. Like in that beginning of that video, "Don't be a sucker." Some good-looking lady gets this guy to go outside, and then some other dude comes up behind the guy and bonks him on the head, and takes his money out of his wallet, and they take off. And so, man, if you're outside and you're looking in at this craziness going on, if there are aliens from outer space, this is why they don't come down here to socialize. People are nuts. You know what I mean? Where'd you go?
I'm right here. I know exactly what you mean.
I wouldn't come down to a planet like this. Seriously. I look down here and everybody's like running around with signs and acting crazy, and I'm like, I've been out there and I know science because my world has been around for millions of years longer or whatever, and like higher intelligence. I'm looking down at these folks and I'm like, man, hey, no way I'm going down there amongst all them diseased nutcases. Crazy. It's just,
or anybody with enough intelligence, enough technology to travel through space from one galaxy to the other would have no interest in us whatsoever other than food or resources. And I don't even believe they need either one of those. By doing that, they would be just like Star Trek. I mean, they would have replicators that would just, any food you ate would be decomposed and stored in its, like Thomas says, you know, in its natural forms, and then put together to make whatever the heck you wanted from. They wouldn't need us. They wouldn't need our resources. We would be lower than piss ants.
Well,
they would look at us like bacteria.
Well, I wish that I wish that you had to have a license to protest if you're going to go out and protest. And I know that sounds counterproductive to the First Amendment, or, you know, freedom of speech, whatever you want to call it. But I'd like them to see that video that we just played out there on the air. And I'd like them to see all the different sides of the deal and a complete rundown of each and every single candidate. And give them both sides of the story. And then offer them the sign to go out there and protest.
Because of all the protesters, that protested after the election. Okay? Of all those that were arrested, I don't know who did it, but somebody did the research. 30% of them were illegal. 30% of them weren't even, they were legal, but they were not even registered to vote. And only 20% of those that were registered to vote actually voted. So, what are they protesting? I mean, they ain't gone, they have no right to protest.
Well, and all those, all the folks out there that are protesting about, you know, constitutional issues of banning people, not banning, but freezing immigration, they need to look into the law before they actually go crazy on there, because the law is the law. If the president has the authority to defend the country and he suspects it from certain areas that these people that are coming in need to be vetted, so they need to have a little bit of time before they start allowing more people back into the deal, then, you know, there ain't no reason to protest. If he's right, following you, those...
You just hit the nail straight square on the head. He didn't freeze or ban immigration. He froze immigration to the United States for 90 days. Nobody's listening to the man. The document he signed as an executive order banning, or not banning, but freezing immigration in this country was for 90 days, and nobody is understanding that. They just grabbed the word freeze immigration, and then they go to haywire. It's for 90 days, and he said in his talk, in his, what do you call it when he gets up there and gives a speech?
Public address, a speech, yes. Or whatever. State of the Union.
He said, and nobody listened. Nobody heard him. He wants to freeze immigration to the United States for 90 days to give them time to upgrade immigration. I mean, my God, Mexico is one of the major places that you go to if you're Mexican and live in Mexico and you want a visa to come to the United States. That's one of the six or eight different places, main cities that you go to stand in line with your paperwork and get your visa. However, there will be 2,000 or 3,000 people every day standing in line, and only 300 or 400 actually get to an interview to get a visa. This is what Trump's trying to do. There are literally thousands and thousands of Mexicans and not Mexicans, okay? South Americans, Hispanics, from all over South America, all over Mexico, they're coming up here illegal. Now, what he wants to do, and that's the reason for the executive order of freezing immigration for just 90 days, to give them time to upgrade the immigration board, to hire more people and train them, and set up a way to screen them to where you don't let criminals in. I mean, what he wants to do is bring in 2,000 or 3,000 people a day.
Well,
illegally. Okay?
It all boils down to the fact of education. If people are listening to the mainstream media's propaganda and uneducated views on what's actually occurring, they're not paying attention to the laws or legalities of whatever's being done. Then you get people that are doing the same thing that they were doing in that film from 1947. They're running around thinking, you know, that the Jews are out to get them, or the Catholics are out to get them, or some secret society's out to get them. We're seeing this today on the same doggone scale. The rich keep getting richer, and the poor keep getting dumber. It's that simple. Because you don't stand out there and protest, save the trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign. It makes you look like an idiot. If you're out there standing up for women's rights and you're talking about how you don't want that Trump's he degrades women and all this kind of stuff, but you're standing out there in public with your shirt off, what kind of common sense is that? Seriously, if anybody looks at Trump, they're going to think he's a stud because he's able to get hundreds of women to take their shirts off. You see what I mean?
I see exactly what you mean. It comes back to what I just said. People hear something, but they don't listen to everything. They take the one single part that upsets them, and then they want to protest on it. And they have no idea what they're protesting. They have no idea. I mean, he's not putting a ban forever on immigration.
Well,
he's
just wanting
to put a freeze on it for a limited time.
But that's the way that the mainstream... That's the way that the mainstream had portrayed it. So that's what information these people are going off of. And so with that said, if you're acting on the information and you haven't researched the information and you don't know for sure, you're just taking somebody's word, there's a phrase, you're going to end up with egg on your face. Alright? You're going to end up basically getting made to look like a fool. When it's all said and done, if this country does come out to be pretty decent and Trump's actually able to do what he says and fix this country, you know, with the help of all the different politicians and businessmen out there, actually steer this country in a good direction, and then immigration starts up naturally again, everybody's coming through legally, and everybody's got more benefits now than they had before. If he's actually able to do what they say, these folks are going to end up looking ridiculous in history because they were out there protesting something that they didn't even really understand. Now, some pictures were posted here earlier out there in the chat room. Pictures of, supposed right-wing extremists with Ku Klux Klan hats on, pointy dunce caps. And pictures of police with mask on, dressed in battle gear. And I basically gave the visualization out about the crazy leftists with ski mask on and carrying around sticks and rocks and, you know, talking about peaceful protest. And then other people shouting, no justice, no peace. And you look at this entire deal, step back and look at the doggone big picture. If you got any kind of common sense in your mind whatsoever, you have to understand that this is pure ridiculousness. Some folks out there protesting don't even understand that the United States of America has never, ever been a democracy. But they're out there shouting, this is what democracy looks like. You know, over and over again, this is what democracy looks like. And I'm looking at this, what they're telling me, that's what democracy looks like. I'm seeing people busting windows out. I'm seeing people hit each other and spray each other in the face with pepper spray. And I'm seeing the cops standing idly by and not doing nothing while all this craziness is going on. And then when they finally do come around to it, I'm seeing what looks like Nazi stormtroopers plow their way through crowds of people and pepper spraying everybody and his brother on the way down the line. And I'm seeing all this talk about love Trump's hate and all this Nazi signs and half naked women, and they're going like, this is what democracy looks like, you know. And I'm like, first off, the United States of America is a representative republic. You need to get that right first. And if indeed that is what democracy looks like, thank God we have never been a democracy. Because if that's what democracy looks like, I want no part of it. Absolutely no part of it.
Exactly.
So, that's the point I'm trying to get across. People got to get educated before they go out there and start protesting guys with guns. You know? And if you're going to sit there and talk about everybody being a racist and you can't even back it up with truth, you know, truth is, on the Democratic side, that's where the doggone Klan came from. The Democratic Party was the ones that founded the Klan. But now, it's supposedly the Republican Party must have, like, inherited the Klan. Now they took over. Now I ain't saying there ain't Klan members on both sides of the fence, because there probably are. But nonetheless, if you ain't willing to share your own dirt, then don't point out everybody else's dirt if you ain't got no intentions of cleaning up the dirt. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand exactly what you're saying. I mean, totally. He who lives in glass houses should not throw stones.
Yeah.
I mean, dang, go, man.
And burning down your own house and then complaining you ain't got no job or a place to live. Burning down your own communities and talking about how terrible your community is. Yeah, you sure showed the government. Man, you taught them a thing or two.
What's the old saying? Cut your nose off to spite your face?
Yeah.
Golly, hey, man. Come on. I mean, you're going to complain that you don't have a job, so you're going to burn your whole damn community down? That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So essentially,
the food stores to the point that they don't even want to reopen again?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You're going to complain about the price of gasoline because now you have to drive three counties away in order to buy groceries? Come on.
So making a better place is going to be probably the biggest deal, is trying to get people educated before they go out and get all crazy. Now, I sat down and I talked to a young lady one time that was in college, and she was telling me about how global warming was so terrible. And I sat down and attempted to explain the basic science of CO2. And, man, not only did she get, like, really super apprehensive, but she refused to listen to anything that I had to say because I wasn't the teacher of the school that she was in. And so, with that said, I didn't know nothing because I didn't have a teacher's degree, alright?
Right.
And so she not only got mad and wouldn't just flat out refuse to listen to reason and to try to think for herself. She held on to that as if it was some sort of gospel or something, man. She wouldn't hear it. And I understand people's passions in saving the planet and working in harmony with nature, because I love nature too. I'm an animal lover. I'm a nature lover. But I don't go out there and get ridiculous and stand there with a wooden stick and a paper sign and shouting to everybody to the top of my lungs, save the trees, calling everybody a Nazi, fascist, capitalist, misogynist, pig, homophobe, xenophobe, and all the different labels that people like to use as a weapon against each other.
You know, the thing is, Shaziz, your college kids and so forth that are doing all this protesting, especially over global warming and all, they don't realize, they don't know, because no one has ever taught them the truth. One average, not a big one, not a little one, one average volcano erupting puts more CO2 in the atmosphere than the United States saved in the past 10 years because of air. It's stupid. I mean, we have 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, there are more than 25 erupting volcanoes every minute of every day throughout the world. And one volcano, average-sized volcano, spews out more carbon dioxide and toxic gases in 1 week than we saved in 10 years. I mean, come on. Man cannot control global warming. There is no way under the sun we can do it. It's like man in all of his grandeur said, whoa, all these nuclear bombs, if we had a war, it would set the atmosphere on fire and we would destroy the earth. Duh! Mount St. Helens, in the first day of its eruption, released more energy than all the weapons, bombs, bullets, everything, more energy in one day than was spewed out in the 6 years of the Second World War. And man thinks he can destroy Earth? Bull crap.
Well,
I mean, come on, man. I mean, you're putting yourself, when you start talking, we're going to control global warming and then we're going to do this about your carbon footprint. I mean, who do you think you are? I mean, every human being on this Earth, if they all band together, could not control global warming.
All right, well, you know, anybody who paid attention in science could figure all this stuff out. But, you know, the reason why a lot of these people are acting the way they're doing is because if they're going to college and you are exposed to, like, this video that I'm not going to play because it's got a lot of F-bombs in it.
Yeah.
Liberal NYU professor utter meltdown at Gavin McKinney's free speech event. Well, I don't know who Gavin McKinney is, but either way, this lady, she's on there, and she's effing this and effing that, calling everybody Nazis and all this kind of stuff, and she dropping the F-bomb. Listen to what I got to say here.
That profanity is nothing more than the effort of a sin-sick mind trying to express itself forcefully.
Sure, but listen to what I got to say here. This lady, she is doing all this, throwing this fit out there, cussing the police and all this kind of stuff, and basically talking about, you know, forcing people to go out and fist fight with each other because they won't do nothing or whatever, and then she starts shouting that she's a professor, you know, and this and that, and so here is supposedly a professor of a college out there setting a terrible example for the youth in that college. And then whenever you look into who this lady really is, she has a link that's actually linked to this one particular video that is supposedly to her artwork. And in her artwork, essentially, it is nothing more than, you know, some sort of warped... I don't know what all words I want to use. Warp, disturbing. It basically looks like some bit of retardation mixed with pornography. I mean, literally, she's literally acting out sex acts while dressed like a lobster and calling it art. If you got professors that are like that, then how are you going to expect your college-educated kids to act any different? I mean, she already set a precedent. You can go at least this far in society and be a professor. So why can't you cross that line and go, you know, do whatever you want? You know, Aleister Crowley, Aleister Crowley, do as thou wilt or whatever, you know?
Right.
He's declared himself the most evil man in the world, or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
Nonetheless, if this is who's teaching the kids, then that explains that no more explanation is necessary for why the youth of today are out there in the streets protesting all the stuff that they protest in the manner that they protest it. That's why it is the way it is. And at some point, everything that they're protesting for freedom and rights and all that kind of stuff, first off, if Sharia law, they don't like homosexuality in the Muslim community. That's what Sharia law, you know, if you're a Christian, you're an infidel and whatever, okay? That's in their own book. And, you know, you can read it yourself. But it's religion to peace, and these folks have to be protected, and our borders have to stay wide open. Anybody can come here because we're the melting pot, and this is what they're thinking. They're thinking, you know, it's not fair to keep people out. But let's say hypothetically that all these people come from all the different Muslim nations. They move in, and they finally manage to work their way into society, become citizens, shift us over from what they call a democracy, which we're not, we're a representative republic, into literal Sharia law. And now, all the things that they wanted as far as freedoms just got wiped out, because now you're not in a democracy or a representative republic. You're under Sharia law, under a one religion, and you either like it or you die.
Right.
So you're just fighting to kill your own freedom. You know? And if you're out there protesting against the police and you're burning stuff down, you're giving them the justification to come in there with force and deadly force if necessary. So you're being counterproductive to the whole cause of freedom to begin with. And once again, I don't care whether you're on the left or on the right. You know, it ceases to be a peaceful protest when you're standing there in a ski mask with a stick or a brick in your hand. That's not peaceful. That says that you're prepared to do something. And whether that's something that you're going to build a house and use the stick for, to mix the concrete and the rock for, to build the wall or whatever, the foundation, or you're fixing to be up to no good. And most likely it's the up to no good portion of it.
Okay, now the only reason for the mask is if you're building that house up north in the wintertime.
Well,
it's warm. It's not snowing. It's not freezing weather. Why the mask?
If you're afraid that somebody's going to know who you are, then you're probably up to no good, is all I can say.
Most likely.
If I ain't got nothing to hide and I want to protest my government, I'm going to go out there and let my government know I'm not afraid. It's a free country. I can say what I need to say to tell you I don't like what you're doing. But I don't got to cover my face and carry a stick or a ball bat to do it.
You know, that's the whole thing, Dishon, is you, me, and everybody else that gets on the Bad Science Show and the Knights of the Round Table, we don't hide. We don't even hide our face. Every one of us has given our ID on YouTube so people can actually go and see who we are. We don't hide. We try to tell the truth.
What?
And we try to help educate people that have been taught lies. I mean, global warming is not a lie. Man-made global warming is a lie. It's a pure, outright, bald-faced lie.
Yeah, it's a way to steal money from people. It's essentially that.
Excuse for the government to pass laws to steal money.
But see, the thing is, people, if you listen to some of these, go look up any anti-Trump supporters and anything to do with liberal and social justice and stuff like that, and look. I'm looking at a picture right now of a video where a lady has some crazy stuff. It says grab back on her chest, but she ain't wearing no shirt or bra. And so she's out in public. And this isn't just happening in the United States. This is happening elsewhere, too. So, and the protest, people that don't even live in America are protesting Trump being the president. Alright? And so, you're sitting here wanting to fight against somebody who you said is degrading to women, yet you're out there degrading yourself in public, making yourself look foolish. What would stop you from having a shirt with the same saying written on there that, you could be out there and not lose your dignity in front of everybody?
Right.
You see what I mean? And when you don't know enough about the subject, the very first thing that occurs is they start going into personal attacks and start cussing each other out, calling each other names. It's so easy to jump back to that label. Well, you're a racist. You're a racist. You're a racist. You're just a racist. Or laugh in your face, You haven't won your argument. You haven't switched them over to your side. It's not just protesting the government. They're trying to get converts to come over to their way of thinking to go against the government. Once you go against the government and there ain't no government anymore, you just threw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. Now you got like total craziness going on. Nobody's in charge except everybody's in charge, which is mob rules. And so somebody don't like the way you dress, you're liable to get yourself lynched. Does that sound crazy?
Yeah, very crazy.
And then you're going to wonder why it is that some big tough guy with a gun can do what he wants to you and there ain't nobody to protect you. Right now you got protections under the law. Do they work perfectly? Are the wheels of justice slow? Yeah, they're slow, but the fact is at least you've got that, If you invite Sharia law into your government and Sharia law takes over and suddenly you as a woman have to cover your face up, you won't be running around with your shirt off with a words on there that says grab back or anything like that, because you'd be stoned. Right. And I don't mean stoned in the happy sense of toking on some wacky tobacco. I mean they throw rocks at you and kill you. Now that's what happens to people who disagree under that legal system. Alright? So, obviously, anybody with common sense doesn't want to live under that kind of deal. We're supposed to be a representative republic. We have a United States Constitution and a Bill of Rights, and we have certain, you know, inalienable rights according to the whole plan. And that's why America is what America is, and that's why people want to come here, so they're free to believe what they want to believe. But go ask any of the countries over there who are now dealing with the tons and tons of refugees who had people that snuck through with the deal who didn't have any good intentions to, basically blend in with society and live happily ever after. Instead, they went out raping and, you know, doing rude things in public and stealing from people or whatever. Now, if that ain't occurring, somebody prove it to me that it ain't occurring. That's what the mainstream media shows, all the videos of people getting violent and doing stuff. You know? So that's the information presented. The alternative media is saying the same thing, that people over in Europe are having problems because they allowed all these refugees to flood their country and now they're not blending in together. When you come to America, if you ain't coming to America with the intentions to become an American or be America, to follow the rules and the laws set down for us to agree to be a society together, then you're not coming here to immigrate, you're coming here to invade.
Exactly.
And if you're not coming through the gate, instead you're sneaking under the fence, then that doesn't make you look very well as far as you weren't willing to stand in line with everybody else and go through the legal system in order to become, you know, documented immigrants and, you know, come here the right way. And so when you throw in the mix that you got people that are coming here for nefarious means, such as they want to deliver the drugs, they want to get the money, they want to go back across the border and live in Mexico like kings because they have the American dollar and now they're rich. It's all get out. So it pays them to sneak across the border, to smuggle people across the border and take their money. See, they abuse these people. When they're doing human trafficking, these people aren't treated like humans. They're treated like cattle. They take their money. If you ain't got the money, you don't go for the ride. And some women in the process of going across there end up getting raped as they're being sent to America by these, what they call coyotes, these human traffickers. And so they're being abused coming over here trying to become free. When finally they get here, they don't speak the language, they don't understand enough about the laws in order to protect themselves, they don't have nowhere to go, and they're basically lost in a huge country where they gotta try to find their way, and things don't always seem to end up good. Like, especially when they're coming through certain parts of the border, and they're literally dying of thirst and starvation in the desert. So if you go out into certain parts of the desert, you're gonna find bodies laying everywhere. To this very day, you go out to wander the desert, you'll find bodies laying everywhere. And why is that? Because they tried to make it across the doggone desert in the worst possible deal without the proper resources or medical attention. You know, there's rattlesnakes in the desert, scorpions in the desert, it's hotter than heck out there. If you ain't got some sort of protection from the heat and you're out there midday and you're way out there and lost, you're going to die. So even if just for humanitarian purposes, you build that doggone wall because it's a problem. People are coming across there and they're dying just trying to get here. That's the other side of the fence. Don't talk about that. They don't talk about the people dying trying to get here. They don't talk about the women being raped on the way over here. They don't talk about the children being abused and some children being taken away from their parents and then end up in child sex rings somewhere out here in the world being sold off on the black market like cattle. They don't talk about that stuff. They only want to talk about how you're a racist because you want to build a wall. Put all the facts on the table. If what the mainstream media said is true, if what the alternative media said is true, and people are dying in the desert, if there's drugs and guns and so on coming through there, child trafficking, or, you know, whatever. If there's rapes occurring from either side, you know, there's people on the American side who help the coyotes on the other side. They make a lot of money doing that. That's a business. And in the process, who's getting abused? It's the folks that want to be immigrants. They want to immigrate to the United States. You see what I mean?
That's exactly why Donald Trump signed the executive order to put a freeze on immigration for 90 days. He did not put a freeze, a permanent freeze on immigration. He put a freeze on it for 90 days so we can upgrade our immigration board.
Well,
we give the time to upgrade things. Damn, people, pay attention. Listen to all of it, not some idiot out there picking what he or she chooses and propagandizing the people that are too damn lazy to check for themselves.
Well, and that's why I get...
For 90 days, 3 months.
That's why I get...
The States, how long have we been having immigrants come here? Well, now it's by the tens of thousands a day, illegally.
That's why I get so frustrated, because when I'm trying to explain something, I will have people cherry pick my words and twist it and maneuver it around. It don't matter which subject that I'm talking about. Somebody always finds a way to take just a little section of what I said, just like they did with Trump, and basically had everybody thinking he's a racist, and now they're out there protesting, calling him a racist, Nazi, and so on and so forth. But if you watch the whole message that he delivered out there in its full context, every word that he said, then you would understand he just explained to you exactly what I explained to you just now. So does that mean I'm a racist because I don't think it's right that people die in the desert because they're trying like heck to get to freedom? No. I think that people should be able to come across the border. You know? But up until the point when you get your own house clean and prepared for people to be able to live in freedom and justice and fairness and safety, then you don't want to leave the door wide open while you're cleaning your house.
I was just talking the other day, I think it was Friday, and one of my men came in. He's an immigrant. He's Mexican, from Mexico, but he has a legal green card. Okay, and the subject came up about this freeze on immigration and all that, and how the Mexican people are boycotting all of the American businesses in Mexico. Like, for example, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, McDonald's, Burger King, all these people, all these big companies in the United States have all kinds of stores down in Mexico. They're making millions and millions of dollars every week off the Mexican people. And, I mean, you got illegals up here working, sending money down to Mexico to their families, but the families are turning right around and going to Walmart and Home Depot and spending millions of dollars every week, and so the money coming right back to the United States. And I told him something. I said, "What do you think would happen? Not the legal, the people of other ethnic groups that were actually born here." The people who have come through the gate, got a green card, or even a visa for a vacation, not them. Only the illegal immigrants. The illegal immigrants. If every one of them left the United States, there would be absolute financial chaos. It would take nowhere near 2 weeks. Think about the millions of people that are here illegally. I mean, they're renting apartments, okay? They've got to eat, so they're going to grocery stores and buying groceries. Well, if they all left, how do the grocery stores get their food in the store? By truckers hauling it from factories. Duh. Now all of a sudden you've got real estate moguls that own apartment complexes and so forth, and now all of a sudden 15-20% of all your apartments are empty. They're not making money there. Now all of your grocery stores are stocked, packed full of food. They don't need more trucks. So now all of a sudden 15-20% of all your truckers are out of work. Because that's just about how many, or in fact it's more than that, that haul food and supplies. Well, now you've got all these construction workers that are illegal, that are no longer here. So what about the truckers that are hauling the material from the factories to the job sites? I mean, it would bring absolute chaos to the United States in less than 2 weeks. Actually, I truly believe in less than a week. 3 to 4 days. Well, you would have business people screaming and hollering at the government to get this situation fixed, get these people here that are clean, they're not escaping prosecution from their own government because of their criminal acts, but the really, really honest people that want to support their families and so forth, get them back here and get them back here now. I mean, you talk about a rush for the government to get legal immigration aboard up to snuff, up to par. Duh! They would break their backs getting people, hiring people for the immigration board to scrutinize these people and get them up here illegally. I mean, the protest, you really and truly want to protest, you're illegal and you want to protest? Do it properly. Get everybody illegal to leave the country. I mean, in less than 3 days. I mean, flood the borders. Nobody's going to stop you from leaving. You flood the border. Every illegal immigrant in the United States leave. And you would bring absolute chaos. I'd give it 3 to 4 days, actually. But I'd like to be, be safe, so I said 2 weeks, in less than 2 weeks.
Well,
I mean, come on, folks, think about it.
Nonetheless, regardless of all that stuff right there, you still got what's going on out there in public with people protesting. And
I built a Susan Powder store in a shopping center that faced the border in San Ysidro, California, faced the Mexican border. The border had a wall that was 10 or 12 feet high with all stone. And we sat in the parking lot, and as far as the human eye could see, east to west, west to east, as far as you could see, that wall was lined every morning, shoulder to shoulder. You could not get an ant between these people. And I mean, they would drop down. We're talking tens of thousands in just one spot alone. 10,000 of people every day. And there's 12 green vans with immigration officers in them to try to control these people. Come on, man. This census that they did about how many illegal aliens are in the United States. We're talking Hispanics only here, folks. I mean, there's other illegal immigrants in here. I mean, Russia's got Taiwan, every country in the Orient.
Well, regardless
of illegal immigration.
Let's take immigration completely out of it.
Okay.
All right, let's take just nothing but just the American people, all right, those who are already here legally. Their actions out there in public while they're protesting, it's essentially handing their rights over to an entity such as the government. They're basically handing their freedoms over to law enforcement. They're making themselves ridiculous. They're killing their own arguments. They're not even educated to understand what this country is. And so they're out there shouting, this is what democracy looks like. And people like us are sitting back looking at the big picture, watching them tear each other up and fight with each other and get mugged by the police and all that. And I'm saying to myself and wishing they would hear the doggone words coming out of my mouth, if that is what democracy looks like, thank God we're a representative republic and always have been. Because it's just sheer ridiculousness. I understand people got their rights to freedom of speech. But look, if you're out there doing that kind of stuff and you're degrading yourself just to try to prove a point to the government that, you're for social justice or whatever, and people are seeing your actions, and I'm talking about the average Joe who's got to go to work every day, don't have time to be standing out there on the picket line with a sign in their shirts and off and throwing rocks and wearing ski masks and such. All right? If you're out there being violent with each other, you give them more authority. If you're out there smashing things and burning things, you give them more authority. You're basically being completely counterproductive to freedom. And going all the way back to that video that Stephen Gibbons posted in there, if you listen to the words coming out of their mouths back in the 1940s before the World War II, you can see they used the exact same tactics back in that day to get people to react just like you're reacting today. So you're sitting there calling the President of the United States a racist, and you're talking about how he's a xenophobe, a homophobe, a dictator, and calling him Hitler and stuff like that. And you don't even know that your country's not a democracy. You don't even understand that people are coming across the border illegally and dying of their own mistake by being out in the desert with no water and resources. You got people that are coming across with drugs. You got people that's coming across with guns. You got people that are smuggling not just men and women, but children across there. You got a black market going to and fro of not only human trafficking, child trafficking, drug trafficking, gun running, and it's a multi-million dollar business for the black market on both sides of the doggone fence. And so, while on one hand I can understand wanting immigrants to come here because we're a nation of immigrants, and I can understand that you're upset that in history people did terrible things under the guise of the American dream or the American flag or whatever. We're here. We're now. And all these things that has happened in history, it's like Raymond always says, if you ain't paying attention to history, you're bound to repeat it. And it's exactly what was going on back in the 1940s is what you see the same people today protesting. You know, so back in those days, they were right out front racist. They let you know they didn't like folks. They used words like Negro and stuff and, you know, and Jews and Catholics or whatever. They used every terminology they could, just like today, labels today. They had labels back then, homophobe, xenophobe, freaking racist, fascist, Nazi. That's what they used, the terminology they used to degrade the other side to try to get their point across. They take their clothes off, some of them put masks on, and they run around bashing people, and they assault, throwing rocks through windows, setting fire to stuff, and you're going to expect that you're going to get your way out of this deal? No. What you're doing is you're making the man richer. You're making the wealthy elite of the world richer. You're giving them everything they need. You're selling their drugs. You're selling their weapons, because every time this stuff breaks out, people go stock up on guns and ammunition. There's an entire prepper community because of protests such as the one we're talking about. And it, at what point does it not be a protest? What point does it turn into being a riot? Once it's a riot and the police come in, then you get to complain about how the police are brutal. All right? Never mind the brutality that started the mess to get you in the position where now the police want to come in and pepper spray you and knock your head in with billy clubs or whatever and haul you off to jail. So you're fighting to lose your freedom instead of using wisdom and common sense and being educated. If somebody calls somebody a racist, you need to go back and you need to find out where it is that the information came from. You need to ensure that that person is a racist according to your beliefs now that you've been educated, and then maybe go out there and call them a racist. But up until the point, you call somebody a racist, you call somebody a thief, you call somebody a pedophile, and you ain't got no justification for doing that, and you're talking about human rights and you're talking about civil rights, but yet you're going to use your rights to literally take away their rights. And then when it happens to you, suddenly you're the victim? Does anybody understand what it is I'm trying to say here?
Well, of course, the hypocrisy of it all. What we need to do in America is arrest George Soros, because if we did that, the funding for all these radicals that are on the street right now demonstrating, because a lot of them are paid, I think you see a lot of these problems disappear. What we're seeing right now is a very, very small percentage of the population having a large voice heard. And sure. We have to recognize it for what it is, that a majority of American people want nothing to do with what we see going on in the streets of America. Yeah, but until we cut the head off the snake, and to me, good gentlemen, I've studied George Soros. I've looked into his background. I know what he's doing. He is an enemy of the state until the head is cut off the snake. And if it is, then you'll see a lot of this come to a stop, I think, immediately in America.
From what I understand, Russia has an international... Hold on, Raymond. Raymond, hold on a second. From what I understand, Russia has an international warrant out for his arrest.
They do so, as a war criminal. I mean, George Soros, you look into his background, you look into his Nazi ties, and you'll understand exactly what's going on in America today.
Yeah. Do you have something, Raymond?
Yeah, of all your protests and so forth going on today, over 90% of them are unjustified. They are there simply because of what Barry just said, money, blah, blah, blah. Now, there is an old saying, very old, and it is true. An empty wagon rattles the loudest. And these people are totally uneducated. They have no idea what the heck they're doing. They're just out there just doing whatever the media tells them to do, and whatever whoever got enough money to pay them to do it.
You know? Exactly. If you ask them any kind of political...
Uneducated. They have no idea what to do it because they have not studied history. And
exactly.
Who does not study history is not going to. He is doomed to repeat it. It's just that simple.
Yep.
Educate.
Absolutely.
Let them learn history.
We're watching the 1940s replay themselves, and in this particular incident, one has to make the decision whether or not it's the government that is repeating it, or is it the people that's repeating it? Because it don't matter who talks. If you're listening and you're reacting according to who's saying whatever they're saying, if they're telling you somebody's a racist and you're buying into the deal, you become the sucker, like the video said. You're the sucker.
Well, right, you know, Shaziz, these people are demonstrating. If you really sat down and asked them any kind of question, any kind of a thought-provoking question, they are absolutely clueless. They are, like I said, a lot of these people, and a majority of them, are being funded by organizations. And they are absolutely stuck for an answer as far as any political philosophy goes. They're stuck for an answer. They're being told what to recite, what their words are, what their lines are. That's what you do. Here you go. Doesn't matter what somebody says to you. If you get questioned, just repeat the lines that we tell you to say and walk away.
Yeah,
and that's what we're seeing in America today.
If you start losing your argument, then you go to the old standard and start slinging around labels, calling people racist, homophobes,
exactly.
Xenophobes.
Exactly.
And if
because
that
they
don't
have
work,
answers.
If that don't work, you get violent.
You know, that goes back to rules of games like football and baseball and so forth. The best defense is a dang darn good offense.
Yep.
So if they can't defend themselves by giving the proper answer to a question, they don't know the answer, then they attack and start calling you names.
Well, then the biggest question is how do we find a way to enact a solution that will get through to some of these folks? I don't think that you can ever get through to them. Once they're set in their mind, it's like the conversation that I had with the college kid that believed in global warming and CO2 or whatever. And I explained the science of it, but all I got in results was basically, to look at like I was an idiot because I didn't know what I was talking about. But you're talking to a guy who had spent his entire life studying science. And I'm sitting there explaining the basics of it to this person who had already been indoctrinated by a teacher. Because I wasn't wearing the teacher hat, I wasn't listened to, and it wasn't no common sense, and it basically turned into frustration on both sides, where that she didn't want to hear nothing I had to say. She wouldn't even look at the map.
Let's think about history here. At one time, the world was flat. Do you know that? The world was truly flat.
It may be.
You were persecuted by uneducated people because they, not that you were persecuted by educated people because they were educated by authority that knew. They knew the world was flat.
The earth may be flat. It may be round. It may be concave. It may be convex. It may be hollow. The moon may be a hologram. The space may be real. It may not be real. Nonetheless, whether it's flat or whatever shape it is, we're all standing on it with a bunch of knuckleheads trying to convince us that each and every one of us are racist and hateful people, and we have to bend to their will. Otherwise, you know, we don't deserve rights or life or liberty or justice. You know, and this is ridiculous because, look, while we're doing this, while you're out there protesting Save the Trees, somebody's chopping down a tree on the other side. They're not hearing what you got to say. The chainsaw's too loud. So wouldn't it be a little bit more wise, instead of hollering Save the Trees, is go out and plant some trees and cultivate them and make them grow?
You know, when I was in school, my science teacher told us, he said, at one time, people were taught that the earth was flat. Now, most people are being taught that the earth world is round like a ball. And he said, nothing could be further from the truth. Because the earth is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour. Therefore, centrifugal force makes it thicker across the equator through the diameter than it is from the North Pole to South Pole. So it's actually oval shaped.
Well, yeah. Like I said, you know, until people actually get out there and start investigating for themselves, you'll never have those answers.
Absolutely. Just put the truth in front of them.
Yep. The people who believe it's flat will believe it's flat until you prove otherwise. The people who believe it's round will believe it's round until you prove otherwise. Everybody's going to choose their side from wherever they came from. The left is going to think like the left, and the right's going to think like the right. And if you don't agree with the other side, then you see what you see right now. Protests in the streets, half-naked women and people with masks and sticks throwing rocks through windows and burning down stuff in public. And all this kind of ridiculousness. You think this is the first time this ever occurred in history? Go back and look at the old days back in the 1940s, you know. And even prior to that, you know. Every time somebody said somebody was a certain racist or a part of a certain group, you get mobs going out there to hurt people. You see what I mean?
Well, maybe what we've seen in Macedonia and in Romania in the last week here is a precursor of what we're going to see in America, because there was literally millions of people on the street protesting the governments.
Well,
millions, and it's not exposed on mainstream. You'll never see it on mainstream. But these events took place in the last week.
Between 300 and 400 years ago, Romania and Macedonia had another riot, even bigger than the one they had this week.
The problem that I see with this scenario, is that once the dominoes tip, once you overthrow one government and set the precedence that you don't like this government, so you get violent and overthrow that government, it's just going to continue to be a never-ending cycle. And if you think I'm wrong, go over there and look at the history of the Middle East and how many regimes have changed, and how many other regimes that were worse than the one before came up, and how many times and how many people had to die in this whole entire mess. They've been fighting over there for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and if you want America or Europe or any of the other nations out there to repeat that cycle in on your land, now it's all up in your face. Now the entire American people's in an uproar. Immigrations, race wars, and all the craziness that you see in other nations. Go down to Africa and see if they live in well. See how everything worked out for them. You know, and no matter who's at the top of the pyramid and causing all this kind of stuff, George Soros does need to be in jail for all the dang things that he's done and war crimes that is committed due to his wallet, you know? And the people out there that are protesting in the streets and trying to overthrow your own government, you better be careful, because it's happened before in history, and you overthrow a government and then you get a more oppressive government on top of that, or maybe even the fact that you never even able to overthrow a government because the military, in order to try to keep the continuity of government in the United States, will come in and mop you. They have the National Defense Authorization Act. They have the Patriot Act. They have the law. They have the scared people of the country that don't want to see utter chaos that will back them all the way. And if you think they won't back the military, if you think the military won't come against you, ask the people down there during the Katrina event when they were going around picking up guns along with the local law enforcement. Ask them about it. Ask the Jewish people in Nazi Germany what happened. Ask the doggone people in all the different nations where any major conflict occurred, what happened when the average Joe turned against the average Joe, and you're getting turned in because if I don't turn this person in, they're going to kill me. You see
exactly.
What I mean?
We see America now virtually on the cliff of civil war.
Yeah.
Anarchy is running rampant in the streets. We don't see the law enforcement coming in the way they should. You don't think this is all part of an agenda?
It's part of the
plan. You
really
got to look outside the box, guys.
It's part of the plan. They did it in Nazi Germany, and it's happened just like it is now. They went around. They had a lot of school shootings. They had a lot of stuff going on. They had a lot of propaganda, mm-hmm. and they had mm-hmm. gun control, and they had everything. They thought they were going to bring in the perfect race and make it all hunky-dory, and then all nations rose against them, and they got defeated. And here we are again. We're getting ready to go down the same road.
What we see right now in America is almost a carbon copy of what we saw in Germany prior to the Second World War.
Yeah.
But people don't study history. History is being taken out of the schools. They don't want people to know history. It's being taken out of our society. If you look at what's going on in the school system, they don't touch on history anymore. It's put under the rug and brushed aside so people don't realize what happened in the past is going to happen again. Because correlations are undeniable.
And you know who the ultimate losers of this game is?
Let me say something, okay? You got to keep talking about Germany and the Second World War. Well, what about Rome?
Yeah, Rome.
I mean, the exact same thing happened. I mean, what about China?
Well, we're just using Germany as an example, Raymond. The same thing has happened to many regimes. Almost identical.
That is history. It's not just the Second World War. It's not just Germany. This stuff has been going on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. If people would just study history and see what this caused, and this, that, and other, then they could see what's going on today, right now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I only use Germany because it's fairly recent in our history. But what you're saying is absolutely spot on, Raymond. The same agenda, the same problem, reaction, solutions have been used through thousands of years of human history.
And then there's one other thing to factor in right here. There was a conflict, which I'm just going to call a war, because anytime two people are pointing guns at each other and people are dying, that's war as far as I'm concerned. They call it like a police action or something like that. But there was a war in history that sticks out above and beyond all wars that I have studied in my history. And that was Vietnam. And if you could see what was really occurring in Vietnam and you understood how the veterans actually reacted after coming back from that and how people treated those veterans when they come back from that, if you could understand the complexity of what was actually occurring in that war, and then you want to amplify what occurred in Vietnam, you want to see that happen here in the middle of the United States or Canada or anywhere else in this world, that's the equivalence of what you're going to see. Because in Vietnam, there weren't uniforms for every soldier out there. There were people, you didn't know who was who, you didn't know. They called them Charlie, the other side. It was Charlie, And they came up out of the ground. They came up out of the bushes. They came up with little kids with bombs attached to them. Nobody knew who was fighting who. And it wasn't like, two standing armies that you could distinguish between each one, because this one army wore red and this army wore blue, and you could tell who the enemy was. You didn't know who the enemy was. Now, if you start a civil war here in the United States in today's day and age with the melting pot that we have available, you're talking about race wars. You're talking about political wars. You're talking about people, farmers and gang members and motorcycle clubs and all this kind of. You're talking about pockets of people with their own specific agenda, whether it be for money or power or whatever. You're not going to know who the enemy is. You understand what I'm saying? Do you realize how dangerous that type of war is?
Yeah.
Nobody won Vietnam. Nobody won Vietnam. America pretty much backed out of Vietnam because it was like the Chinese said. They want to come over here. It's either Chinese or Japanese general. I can't even remember anymore. But one of them said that the reason why they don't invade America by foot is because you'd have a gun behind every blade of grass, and you don't know who your enemy is. And so with that said, as a standing army coming in here all decked out in their uniform, they're sitting ducks because you got every redneck and crazy and gang member and aiming guns at them. They don't know where it's coming from. And it's hard to fight when you're not facing your enemy. You're surrounded by your enemy.
We got lots of woods in British Columbia.
Yeah.
So, and I know them very well.
You know, I'm just saying, folks, I'm
some Canadian every tree with a gun. I mean, holy, and here you are, I mean, they're wearing street clothes, and here you are coming in there wearing a uniform, and you're going to take them over? Come on.
Yeah. That's what, I'm not trying to be sensationalist or a fear monger or nothing like that. I'm trying to speak common sense, because the best time to stop World War III is before it ever even starts. And right now,
we don't want World War III, guys.
These steps that are being taken out there by people protesting out there, and they're not even a full understanding of what it is they're actually protesting. They actually had a group of people there they were having a meeting trying to figure out what they were good there to protest for. So they were actually professional protesters out there that weren't set up ahead of time. We're going over here to protest the immigrant crisis or something like that. They didn't know what they were there. They just got called there. Everybody's there. Now they're trying to figure out what to put on the sign, what they're protesting about. You should have had that organized before you ever even got to the protest. You should have been educated enough to know.
That wasn't in the safety meeting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they've been caught red-handed lots of times using crisis actors and situations. We know that is undeniable. All we're seeing is a charade in front of us. Unfortunately, so many people are still paying attention to the charade. But in the same mouthful, a lot of people are seeing past it now.
Yeah, and I also want to point out something you said earlier, Barry, about it's a very small percentage of the people that are actually in these protests. As much as you see like crowds and crowds of people, these crowds and crowds of people aren't locals to that community.
They're shipped in?
Yeah, they're coming in by buses and trains and planes and automobiles, and they're there to protest.
Where's the next demonstration?
Yeah.
Let's go. It's paid for. Here's your bus ticket, guys. Here's your cash. Go. Hurry up. Don't be late.
So while the mainstream media is telling you all the terrible things that's going on in the world, you got to ask the question. You got to say, look, has anybody who lives in that area can confirm or deny what is occurring over there? Because right now we're saying they're saying that it's going on all over the United States. If you look at the mainstream media, you'd swear up and down that in every single major city there were millions of people taken to the streets to go against Trump.
Yeah, of course. And why are these people all wearing masks? Are they that cowardly of individuals they can't show their face? Well, they don't want to show their face because they're going to be seen at different events.
That's right. And if you're wearing a mask and carrying a stick, that's no longer a protest. That's borderline terrorism. You know, you got a stick and a mask on. If that ain't striking fear in somebody's heart, you might get a little rowdy. You know.
But the mainstream turns their back on that.
Sure,
it's never reported. And what, like Trump or not, how he's called out CNN, his attack on CNN, I applaud him for that because he is really calling them out for what they are, and Americans are paying attention. Henceforth, we see CNN's ratings now at the lowest they've ever had since they established the station, guys. So that's good news. I mean, for bad news, for fake news.
One thing that is going good for the other side of the fence is the fact that all these people out there protesting and the people like Harry Reid getting on there talking about telling the CIA to give fake briefings to the incoming president and such, not telling the truth or whatever. He said, well, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just not going to tell you everything, you know. Well, if you're doing that to the incoming president and you're out there protesting doing all that, all you're doing, and listen to me closely, folks, all you folks out there protesting and doing what you're doing out there, all you're doing is ensuring You're making a guaranteed, you're actually putting money in the bank for the other team, and you're ensuring that your side will never, ever get reelected into power again. That's exactly it. Because the good people of the world are fed up with the shenanigans. The good people who have educated themselves, that have paid attention to the political scene and the corruption and all the stuff, and read all the articles from both sides of the fence, and understand what the difference between propaganda and reality, those folks are outnumbering you. Those folks are not out in the streets protesting. They're not out burning down their communities. They're not out there running half-naked through town trying to make a point out. They're going to work every day. They're taking care of their families. They're paying their bills and unfortunately all their taxes. And they're basically at the edge of being just fed up. All right. And so if it takes to put in one power, all Republicans, if that's what it takes, then you're going to get all Republicans, regardless whether there's any good Democrats out there. You're going to see a day when the Democratic Party has sunk themselves so bad that they're beyond repair that nobody will ever vote for them again. They'll go out there and vote a straight ticket, even if every one of the persons on the Republican side are the most corrupt individuals ever. As long as the Republican side are smart enough to say what the people need to hear, and as long as they put the proof out there when they do it, what they say that they were going to do, then they're going to get reelected and reelected and reelected over and over and over again, and all your protests are going to just basically put you where you want, where you didn't want to go, period. So what do you think?
Self-defeating.
Yeah.
To say the least. But they can't see the trees for the forest.
There's an easier way to protest the government. There's an easier way to protest companies that you don't agree with. Stop giving them your money. Stop giving them the ratings by doing crazy stuff out there in public, because the mainstream media gets wealthy every single time there's a riot, because it's coverage. Everybody's looking in to see what's going on. They don't live in that area, so they want to see what's going on. So they're watching as people are tearing everything up and burning things down. Go out there in the YouTube community and on Facebook and watch all the comments coming in. You'll have people bickering back and forth, calling each other filthy names and racist and homophobe and xenophobe. You'll have friendships break up. You'll have families arguing amongst each other and they're breaking up. Wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. Does any of this sound familiar to anybody besides me?
Sounds like the evening news.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, are you CNN today, Shaziz, or what?
I'm telling you, that's why everybody's stressed out, man.
You know, actually, stop and think about before the internet. There was just as many earthquakes, just as many floods, and just as many outbreaks of stupid people protesting this. It's just now that the internet's here. Now all of a sudden we've got these mongols of catastrophes going on everywhere. Oh Lord, the world is coming to an end. Give me a freaking break. The world is coming to an end for a long, long time. Just people didn't get all the information. Now they're getting the information, but it's like Samuel Clemens said, he who does not read the newspaper is uninformed.
He who reads the newspaper
is misinformed.
I can't confirm nor deny nor agree nor disagree with anything you said, because prior to the internet, I had no knowledge of all the craziness going on in the world, so I can't sit here and quote statistics. But what I can say is from what I have saw, when they're out there shouting, this is what democracy looks like, this is what democracy looks like, and somebody's blasting a dang rock through somebody else's property, or setting fire to something, or pepper spraying each other, or bashing each other in the head with rocks, calling each other filthy languages, and everybody's a racist and a homophobe and a xenophobe and all this craziness. If that's what democracy looks like, thank God. Thank the God in heaven that I do not live in a democracy. I've been in a representative republic since the day I was born that has gone astray.
Uh-huh. Amen on that one.
Whew.
That was a mouthful. Brian Porter wants to join this guy, so I'm just ringing him in here. He's going to mute out for a few minutes until he finishes eating, but he has a couple thoughts to add.
All right, make sure he don't drop bombs on us.
He don't. He's well versed in radio.
All right, good deal. I already got a couple of them.
Well, you're in here now, Brian. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Brian? So we're talking we're talking about the insanity of the world that we live in, and history repeating itself in a ridiculous manner, and trying to bring common sense to some ears out there in the world. So, Brian, what do you think about this world? What's going on?
Oh God, that's a big question.
Yeah, that's a loaded question.
You got 30 seconds, Brian.
we're all being blown away by the noise, and nobody's doing what they need to do.
That's right.
Get back to community. Stop reading the news.
That's
right. You have to stop listening to alternative radio. We've got to create community. We've got to learn to love one another again. We've got to learn to love Mother Nature again. We've got to learn to understand the three logics: ethical, inductive, deductive. Ethical comes first in all actions. We cannot create systems that don't allow everyone to thrive in them. These are the basics that we have to build on. This is the indigenous way. We came here 500 years ago and we destroyed everything. And we're now whining and complaining about how things are. I mean, it's ridiculous. We deserve every problem we have right now, because we created it for ourselves.
That's a good point.
We still have time. I haven't given up, and all these nonsense people, every day I hear another disaster, oh, it's the end of the world, Armageddon scenario. This is another problem with our religious systems. It's all written, oh, it's all predetermined, oh, Armageddon's coming. I mean, come on, people. You're being sucked in by the noise.
Well, let me point something out on the religious side of the, deal. Regardless of whether somebody believes or disbelieves, you know, a lot of times they'll use the deal that, well, if God was such a loving individual, why would he allow this and allow that and whatever? But looking back in what the book actually said, it said, thou shalt not kill. It didn't say no ifs, ands, or buts, subsection A, article C, and the fine print of micro print D or anything like that. It just clearly said, thou shalt not kill, which is a good rule of thumb to go by. But if you're going to sit there and try to blame a higher power for something that man is in control of because of their own choices and free will that they had, then it's pure ridiculousness, because man killed man. God wasn't down here with a gun shooting people. God wasn't down here raping people. God wasn't looting and pillaging and rioting and stealing. So it doesn't matter whether you believe or disbelieve in God, period. What matters is, we are sitting here on this either rock, this flat earth, or this round earth, concave, convex, or whatever. We're all in the same boat together. And while you're poking holes in your side of the boat, I'm over here trying to patch holes on my side of the boat. And while we're over here protesting save the tree, somebody over there is chopping down the tree. And while we're over here trying to protest for rights and freedom, somebody over there is violating somebody else's rights and freedom. And so if you step back and you look at the big picture, you are ensuring your own slavery. You are ensuring your own lack of rights and respect and whatever. It's man is doing this. Man allows people to starve to death. Man allows the sickness for either greed purposes or whatever. It's not God. It's not any higher power. It's not any secret society of the government. Even though they may be the Jerry Springers behind the scene or the instigators, it is you, the people, who allow these things to occur. If there's a starving baby in the world, and yet we can amass a huge army to go over there and bomb somebody into the Stone Age, but we can't amass an army and go over there and give that kid some clothes, a sandwich, and medical care? You see what I'm trying to point out here? It's ridiculousness. You can't blame it on your government. You can't blame it on people's religions. You can't blame it on...
Let's try to hone in on the issues here, because we're too generalist still. I completely agree. We're living in a contradicted system. And, you know, Christ came here to show us the way. And my opinion, we killed him because of our sins. He didn't die for our sins. We killed him because of our sins. Anybody who believes that Christ died for your sins, well, good luck.
Well, that's our belief. That's the fundamental of my life, Brian. So we don't slam other people's philosophy on religion here. We're not touching on people's philosophy, because if you say that to me, I am going to come back at you very hard, buddy, because I believe he died for my sins. I believe he died on a cross. I believe what the Bible says about today's world, because it's like reading a bloody newspaper. So please do not attack religions. We'll go philosophy on what we see right now, but do not attack my religious beliefs. Period.
You know, Barry, it's not an attack on your belief.
It sure was.
It's an interpretation.
I took Brian for what he said, and what he said was he was not attacking religion. He was not attacking your religion, or Shaziz's religion, or my religion. And every time Shaziz talks about religion, whether you believe or don't believe, he always leaves me out. And I'm getting my feelings hurt.
I'm not trying to leave anybody out. I'm trying to cover all bases. You know, if you're an agnostic and you're just not sure, that's, you know.
Exactly.
Look.
There are people that believe, there are people that do not believe, and there are people like me that are not sure. They're just waiting to be sure.
Nonetheless, the point is that each and every one of us are responsible for our own choices. We choose to do what we choose to do. We choose to believe what we choose to believe. And so, actions from that point.
My defense for him would be, the question is, why does God allow this to happen? Because he gave us free will for him to do anything. Contrary to that, to allow, to force human beings to do something would be going against his own word.
So with that said, then that means that we have a job to do, and that's to learn how to get working together and using the things that the gifts that we've been given to make this world a better place. You're not going to do it through any government. You're not going to do it through any religious brand.
Man has the free will to choose as he sees fit. And whatever we do as mankind, we here are the ones that are trying to spread the word. To cut the crap out.
Sorry.
I think what we're doing here is offering different ideas and different thoughts about the same enemy we see. Okay? And how we as a society can come up with ways to fight against what we see. And Brian's got some great ideas on groups, becoming communities, because really, if you look at what Brian was saying earlier, in all honestly, the Aboriginal communities in North America prior to us coming here lived in harmony with the land. Everything that they needed was provided by the land they lived on. They were communities that lived within themselves, supported themselves, and were really hardcore, thriving communities. And we see the exact opposite in today's world, where our societies and our communities have been broken up. We are so divided as a society by all kinds of different mechanisms. And what we really have to do is get back to the root of the problem, why it is that we see society where it is right now, and how we can change people's thinking about it.
Well, I'm up to any suggestion.
There's lots of suggestions and lots of thoughts out there. I'm just saying that, you know, this conversation is one that has to be had, because we hear different opinions and about different thoughts. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
That's what the round table is about.
That's what we're here for.
Practical activism. I believe in doing things that actually can lead to something that's positive. So what I've done is I created a page called The Foundation of a Natural and Loving World Order. It's all about getting back to the land community. It's about creating community. We have lost the ability. This is the most serious problem with the Matrix. It's blocked our ability to work together. It's blocked our love of difference. And this kind of a bit relates to, you know, I'll talk to Barry about what I said off air, but we have to learn how to deal with difference. We don't know how to deal with difference. We have to learn that there's only one rule here, and that's don't kill Mother Earth. On top of that, we can have a million different relations to a million different systems. But while we're now here, and everything's a chaotic mess, really, we have to learn to work with people that we may not agree with on all issues. The bottom line is, if we let the planet die, all systems are going to go with it. So what we've got to do is we've got to focus on, okay, what is the core thing we need to do? We need to create communities of people who learn, again, how to live directly off the land. So I did this posting in Facebook. I did a few shows on it. Now, I met a guy who's not far from me. He's about a couple hours north of me. He's got 100 acres of land. He's got a huge lake there. This guy is paradise on earth. He's on it for 30 years. He wants to develop a community up there. You see, so my outreach has led to this connection. And then I met a guy in Montreal, and he's got a system where he's going to try to, within Barry's had concerns, and valid concerns about how do you take a city and renaturalize a city? Well, he's got this, this guy's got a permaculture garden in his backyard, in his city. He's got this great system he's developing. He lived with the Dukabors for 10 years, so he learned a lot from them. This is the key point. This is, everything's got to get focused on getting back to mother and protecting her. That's number one priority. Okay, that is got to be the number one priority in everybody's lives, okay, in my opinion. And we can throw other technology on top of it, but this guy's got a huge solar array set to go. He's an expert in solar. He wants someone to help him put it up. I'll probably do it within the summer. So this is the kind of stuff we've got to focus on, folks. Stop listening to the noise. Stop listening to the doom and gloom. Okay, I'll believe you right now, anybody in Canada, we're bloody lucky compared to the rest of the world. It's just travesty what's going on in Africa right now. Almost every nation's at war, and we don't know about it. And in the U.S. too. I mean, we have time still to turn the tide. We do. Start by getting back to nature and creating community, because we're not a solitary being. We're supposed to be in communities, folks. Some people may want to be, but we've got to get through that block that's been created by the Matrix, the destruction of the family and the community. Well, what do you think of that, guy?
I agree. We do need to get down to taking care of this earth that we live on, no matter what shape you believe it is or whatever you believe. What I've been trying to point out on the Mad Science Show for quite some time is that right now, like my friend Steve says, we have the sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips. We're standing at a crossroad right now that if used properly, we have the technologies to literally clean up the messes that humanity has made on this earth, plus ensure that the future doesn't have to worry about the planet being destroyed or species dying off in masses. You know, it ceases to become a conspiracy theory when birds start dropping from the sky and fish start going belly up. You've got a problem. The food chain is dying off, which in turn comes down to you at the end. But nonetheless, all the answers to every single problem that we have out there, if everybody could sit down long enough to listen and pay attention to one another, as opposed to trying to label each other whatever belief system or non-belief system or whatever. I despise labels. I despise borders. I despise all this stuff. But at this point in the game, these is all we got. All right, and if you don't sit down at the table with one another, and you don't get into your local communities and go down into your local streams and creeks and start cleaning them up and start taking care of finding solutions and enacting those solutions on a community basis in your deal, you're going to see a repetitive deal over and over and over again until everybody's standing right literally in the middle of the dump wondering why the place stinks. All right? We have the knowledge to fix things right now. We have the knowledge to ensure that everyone has food, everyone has medicine, everyone has shelter, and every need is taken care of. We have that capability right now. There's all this energy, clean energy, renewable energy. If you're going to go out there and protest for it, you need to find the folks that are out there doing the work, and you need to support them in any way you can in order to ensure that these technologies come to the forefront and don't get shelved. And in the mainstream media, if they're lying and propagandizing to you, it's as simple as shutting off the doggone radio. All right, and these alternative media's out there, same thing. If all the they're putting out negativity, no solutions, nobody's moving forward, then shut them off. Start your own network in your own communities. Work your way out, and that ripple will send across the land. When people start to see how good your community is, how well fed and taken care of everybody is, how charitable your community is, then they will follow that lead. It's as simple as that.
Absolutely. One thought I want to interject there is, as I agree with Brian, really, when you look at the whole picture right now, we are looking at a planet that's dying. Now, without being negative, we have to dwell in the negatives to make people realize that the solutions are there, but we don't have another generation to correct the problems we see right now.
No, I don't believe you either.
No, I don't want to be sounding like a negative person at all. I honestly consider myself a rational human being, but what I see unfolding on the planets, and I study the die-offs, I see the acceleration, I know now that since 2011, the rate of acceleration of die-off is increased about 200%, because I just studied that. So not only are we seeing a die-off, we're seeing an acceleration in the die-off. Of course, that's relevant to the destruction of the food chain. So what I'm saying to people right now, that there is an urgency. There isn't a large window of opportunity to turn it all around. But to say that technologies don't exist is you're being foolhardy, because we're sitting here right now in this room with people that have solutions. Shaziz, what he's doing in free energy, you got to grasp it. What Brian's talking about, getting communities back together, that is the fundamental core of our society. We are looking at a universal problem of identifying and killing what is killing our planet. And that's what we see. And that should be our universal cry right now, because honestly, what I'm seeing and fully understand about what I see in the near future, it's very, very bleak for our future generations. So really, we really have to get back to protecting the Earth, and we have the answers, guys.
And one way to do that, instead of going out there with your protest signs and all that kind of stuff, right now there is an unseen disaster in the works right now, and it goes all the way back to the big oil spill that you heard about in time with BP. Now, somebody tell me if they've stopped it yet, because from the last I heard, they were still dumping thousands of gallons of Corexit in the ocean. Now, supposedly at some point they were told to cut back, and they cut back to some extent, but nonetheless they're still pouring the stuff in there. If this has the capability of breaking down oil and doing what it does to oil, then one would have to assume that any fish that has oil in their body would be adversely affected, which could explain why you find jellyfish, or not jellyfish, but starfish that are like mush. All right, because the oil is being broken down in their body. It's not natural to put that stuff into the oceans. And so, with that said, with radioactive material leaking off into the ocean and changing the temperature, you change the temperature, basic science says you change the temperature, heat rises, cold falls, and that's going to change the jet stream. The jet stream is going to change the Gulf Stream, or Gulf Stream, jet stream, vice versa. Both of them interact with each other. It's the way nature works. And nature works like a clock. You bust a gear in that clock, throw things out of whack, and until you replace that gear or repair it, or nature has a chance to clean it up, you got a big problem. We have solutions right now to resolve every single issue that I just spoke about. It's going to take people on a grassroots level to not get out there and protest the guys with the guns, but send your emails and your letters and overwhelm the doggone senators and congressmen and tell them, we have a solution. We have a solution. All right? And get together and do it. If you clean up your local creek, your neighbor down the way or back behind you somewhere, another's going to appreciate you because the property's not going to flood anymore. If you do that all the way down the creeks, all the way, allow those streams to run freely, nature can do what nature was intended on doing. Get the tires and the junk out of your local streams, clean your own house, show everybody how it's done, build your communities, solve problems in your own communities, and work your way out, and hold your governments and your medias, whether it be alternative or mainstreams, feet to the fire, and show them what you're doing. Show them the progress.
If you sum it up too simple, people don't listen, and that is lead by example.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk.
That's right. You should see my neighborhood. I'm down in the creeks cleaning mine. You know? I got 12 acres of land out here. I'm out here and I'm tending to the land. I'm a caretaker. It's not my land. It belongs to my creator. It belongs to Earth. I've tried to take care of it. I've tried to make it so that when people come here, they can be comfortable. And I tear down fences so the deer and the animals can run freely and not tangle themselves up or get hurt. I don't allow no hunting on my property. I allow that, nature can do what nature does. And my land loves me for it. And so, with that said, I'm a Christian and I love the earth. Is there something wrong with that? God give me this according to my beliefs. God give it to all of us. I'm borrowing it. You see what I mean?
Yep.
We are. That's beautiful, brother. That's beautiful. We actually have a province here in Canada called Quebec, and they have a law that you cannot disrupt the shoreline of any river or stream or lake within 10 meters, even if you own the land. And it's creating a literal heaven order in Quebec. I love Quebec. I'm probably going to end up, getting close. I love it there. I don't know if I'm going to live there, but certainly not far. This is the kind of stuff that we have to push governments to do. That's why I'm really glad Barry introduced me to this new political party, and I'm trying to advise them on policy development, because these are the kinds of simple laws that we can pass that will make a huge difference here. Because nature needs the freedom to grow. And then once we allow the environment to be naturalized, then a lot of things will come back. The animals, the fish, the birds, bugs, all that kind of stuff. So it's, there are solutions. You're absolutely right, guys. There are solutions. And I work every day on solutions. I don't get paid. I haven't gotten a cent of pay for 5-6 years. I'm in this because I love my species. I love the planet. I love my creator, my version of the creator. And anybody who's inspired to do good through their belief system, I say go for it. I don't take sides of spiritual issues.
And that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing about this round table. We come together of a diverse. We got people that don't believe. We got people that's not sure. We got people that believe what they believe. But we can sit down and we can agree to disagree in a respectful manner. We can point out the problems. We can point out the solution to those problems. That's what the round table is all about. And the best thing about the round table that we got access to right now, cyberspace is huge. We can fit so many people around this table. It is crazy. We'll just keep stretching it out as far as we can stretch it. And eventually, those positive pebbles that we throw out there in words of wisdom or ideas or solutions. If you like these podcasts, if you like what we're saying, share them on your social media networks. That's how we get this word out to everybody. I can't afford a flyer campaign, and if I did, I'd go out and put paper on a doggone tree with a message on there. I'd either get fined from the city, or the environmentalists would come down on me about saving the trees or the trash company or whatever. So I'm using the cleanest portion that I got right now, access to a microphone and the internet, and I'm talking to everybody out there in the world. I'm offering you a platform to come up here and talk and work things out, because the best time to stop World War III or doom and gloom and all that is before it ever even starts. Nip it in the bud, like Barney Fife used to say. So, I want to save the planet, I want to save the trees, I want to save the fishes, I want to make sure that little picture like I put in there where that little baby that you seen over there, and I think it was Nigeria, and that aid worker went over there and saved this baby's life and took him from a little frail skeleton, bones, skin and bones, starving to death and sick. And basically then a year later had this little boy in some nice clothes with his little backpack and healthy looking, That's the kind of stories I want to hear about. That's the kind of stories I want to be able to share on the Knights of the Round Table, because that's what the message is. That's how we get things done, when people love people enough to literally get involved and make miracles and dreams come true.
Well said.
So,
this has been a really good conversation today, guys. I've really enjoyed this.
Yeah.
Immensely.
It's that
and
time
again,
I'll
reiterate on what Brian said real quick, because none of us are getting paid to do this, guys. I've never got a penny out of radio, and I don't want money out of radio. We're here because we really do see problems, and we really do have solutions to offer. I know we dwell a lot into the negatives, but I feel that's necessary to make people realize that we're at a time right now where we can't drag our feet, that we have to become involved, we have to become active in our own communities. I'm trying to do that myself every way I can. I think every day how I can become more and more active, how we can wake people up, how we can actually walk the walk that we're talking.
That's right.
If we all do that, you'll see amazing changes in society.
And I want people to know that I'm not just talking this stuff, I'm living this stuff. I bring people into my home as if they're my family. Raymond's been here to stay with me for a while. My friend Thomas has been out. They know
I'm
what
coming.
Kind of world I live, and you're welcome too. but I bring people in who are in need. I help them out. I don't do it for fame, fortune, or anything other than the love of my brothers and sisters around the globe. And when I'm out in public, if I see somebody who's got a sign, I don't care whether or not they want that money for drugs. I don't care whether they want the money for food. I'm not going to judge them. I'm going to reach in my pocket if it's available. I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to have enough faith in that person that they see me doing something kind for them that they might reciprocate for somebody else in need. It's the kind of pay it forward thing that you see out there in the world.
Positive, positive, positive has a reaction on people. Smiling at people during the course of your day has an amazing effect on them.
So I'm not just talking, folks. I'm doing. And this whole entire network, the Shaziz Radio Network, this comes out of my pocket. You'll never hear me ask you for money. You'll never hear me ask you for anything that I'm not willing to give you. And so with that said, this is my offering to the world as a platform, a roundtable for people to come together, resolve issues, talk about Brian's community efforts and Raymond's work and Barry's work and my work and everybody and your work. You come to the microphone, share this message, share these podcasts with one another. Let people know that there is a way out of this mess that we found ourselves in society. And the way out isn't going out there burning down your own community, rioting and tearing things up, okay? You got to use some common sense. You got to get educated. You got to know what's going on and the truth behind every single label that somebody's put on somebody out there. And if you ain't exercising your rights with truth and justice, then you're out there to violate somebody else's freedoms. It's as simple as that. So we're down to it, man. It's time to go around the table real quick and let you guys have your last word. Once again, another passionate show, man.
Yeah. Well, let me just put a plug in for my network. It's makingadifference.tv. I've got about 10 hosts now. It's mainly an informational network full of healers and people that are actually making a difference. I know some of the top change agents on the planet, people who have created hundreds of communities, people who have, they just can't keep down the amount of requests they have to make presentations. Like Alberto Ruiz down there in Mexico. That guy's Gandhi of our era. Nobody even knows about this guy. I'm bringing all the top change agents to the public, to the world, through makingadifference.tv. So I hope people will hook up there, check in, listen on demand, pull up the videos, and we're going to make a huge difference. And anybody who wants to come on, Barry's on too. Anybody who wants to come on, she says, we'll put you on there too. It's a network of networks. As I said to someone the other day, it's networking into infinity. That's what I represent. And that's what my network represents. And I think that's what you represent too, guys.
Yeah, that's what needs to be done. That's what we've been doing. Amen. We're affiliated with so many networks. We lost track how many networks we're dealing with. But I don't care.
Well, let's bring them all together.
That's right. I don't care whether or not you come to Shaziz Radio to get some good common sense information. If you get better on anybody else's network, go there, listen and learn and share the information to let the people out there in this world know that as bad as the mainstream media portrays it, as bad as the alternative media portrays it, there are solutions to every single problem that exist. We are standing here in the most wonderful time where we have access to so much information, so much knowledge. Like my friend Steve said again, we have the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips. And if we don't utilize it now, then guess who's going to pay the price? It ain't going to be us, because once we're gone, the people who inherit this world, our children and their children into the future, are going to look back on us like we were just the stupidest people on the planet because we had a chance to change it and we didn't. Now they suffer.
Well said. Well said. This show's a really, really inspiring show, guys, today. I'm glad we had this conversation. Thanks for having me in. I've got an appointment at 9:30, so I have to run now, guys.
All right. Thanks again, Barry. Raymond, you got any last words?
Brian, we'll talk later.
Of course, Barry.
Okay.
Take care, brother.
You got any last words of wisdom, Raymond?
Yeah. The whole show is about we have everything that's needed. All we need now is to stand up and do something. So I'm going to say what I said earlier. Lead by example.
That's right.
You want to do something to make the world better? Stop talking about it. Get up off the couch and do something.
That's right.
Then go clean up your neighbor's creek. Whatever it takes, just do it.
That's right. Lead by example.
Lead by example. That's it.
And I hope that everybody understands I'm not just all about talk, because in my own personal life, that's what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to show how wonderful it is to love others and take care of others, and how wonderful it is to take care of the land you're standing on, and realize that we're all connected some way, somehow. Whatever divine entity or lack thereof that you believe in or disbelieve, we're all standing in the same boat. And so I would think that common sense would dictate that we help repair our boat. We help protect each other.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't...
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to... Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet hunting table. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. All right.
Shazam the Turtle! Always looking Shazam the Turtle and the Knights of the Round Table!